Tonight's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games.
Thank God it's Friday!
The story is true.
Heavy Meta. Heavy Meta.
You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday? You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday?
Following cat.
Who the fuck?
Who do you think it is, motherfuckers?
It's Heavy Meta, Maddie Studios. What you guys doing here? You're not supposed to be here no more. We took over. This is our show now.
I'm sorry. I've been drinking too much while you guys were talking.
Yeah, so I'm going to be hardlining Kraken, and that's all I'm going to be doing the whole time. I don't give a fuck. So come on out. See me naked.
My wife is... What? Doctor, I have access to all the hypodermic needles that I need.
Hypodermic needles?
Hypodermic.
I want access to hypodermic needles. That's what I want.
He's like, literally, like, he can't deal with, like, two of me.
I start walking at home, and I said, fuck you, San Diego.
What the fuck, are they going to put a baby seal with a club in its head?
I don't...
You can't invite a nigga to the door without, you know, making it true. And I'm going to say nigga a lot, too, because you guys cuss and talk about dicks and shit.
Totally okay with it.
Welcome to Heavy Meta.
But then there's other times where we're just rambling drunk the whole episode, and somehow we still come out with a fucking podcast every week.
He went to turn around and slipped in the puddle, and he fell outside of the urinal.
There are rules to a devil's treat, and I still, that, like, I don't know, that shit just...
He turns around, I guess I gotta go make me some bagels.
The summer of the movie?
What the fuck? That
sounded like some random ass person. The summer of the movie!
Look, guys, I knew I was coming into what would be like the Lord of the Rings style of podcast. I've got a liter of water next to me. We just cracked a 20-ounce Red Bull, and my wife has made amazing burritos for me to chomp down on the next 3 hours. As I came home today for 5 minutes to tell her, hey, I'm doing this podcast, I'll talk to you in about 3 hours. And she gave me
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, you scruffy little nerf herders? I'm Kevy Metal.
And I'm Maddie Studios.
And one of you...
I don't know who's next. I'm Raging Gumby.
we didn't
assign an order.
That's the first time we've ever done that.
You want to start that over? You want that again?
Fuck no.
Hi, welcome to Heavy Meta, everybody. Woohoo!
This is Heavy Meta, bitches.
Well, everyone, this
one,
is...
Jumps, that's us.
Yeah, we are, as you know, this is a brand new cast. It's episode 101, and we are getting used to each other. We are feeling each other out.
Feeling each other out.
We are feeling each other out. We don't know where one guy's dick begins and the other guy's thigh starts. So, I mean, we're getting there.
We're getting the cave is small.
We're getting there, yeah. We're in close. Listen, the cave
room only.
I'm gonna start this off by saying, like, we got through episode 100, so now I'm just gonna phone this shit in until like at least 150. I'm just gonna, like, you might as well just make a Kevy Metal soundboard, because I'm just gonna get drunk and just say stuff.
So what's different?
You're just gonna keep doing what you've been doing.
That's what I've been doing for 100 episodes.
You know what? You don't change a winning formula. That's
yeah, exactly. You can't fucking beat that formula. You guys talk about magic. I just yell shit while I'm drinking, and we sell a million fucking records. Boom. Wait.
You know what?
Fuck. New plan.
Look, Kevy, I've actually been told by many people that you're actually the best magic player on the cast right now.
I remember seeing that tweet and it cracked me the fuck up.
Apparently you're a red mage. You're the red guru now.
I am the worst Magic player. Like, I can stumble through a red deck. Now, but see, now I'm putting blue in it, so now I'm fucking, now I'm a badass.
You're legit. Dude, I don't know why they're not paying you to write for Star City yet. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. I don't get it either, and, you know, maybe, like, TSG, if you could use your connections in the Magic community to just get these people to understand that, I might as well just go straight to the Pro Tour Hall of Fame. I'll skip the Pro Tour thing, because, I mean, I don't really need to go out and, you know, earn that money or nothing. I just want the title, so I'm going to need you to hook me up with the right people to just straight fast-track into the Hall of Fame. Just for being the
sweetest, Hall of Fame. All right.
Sweetest badass. And people are just all, oh, who's this guy on the ballot? Kevin Metal? I've never actually seen him do anything before. I'm like, yeah, well, it's just because you don't know. Shut the fuck up.
You just say, episode cheeseburgers. Go figure it out.
Yeah, episode cheeseburgers.
You'll figure it out. So this week has been probably one of the best weeks for our cast, just because we came off 100. I wanted to say off the top of the show that I just want to thank everyone for all the kind words. You know, we didn't, yeah, man, we didn't think we'd get to 100, so it's awesome that we're here, and I just want to thank everyone for what they said. I did want to say to everyone, I know I'd gotten a lot of shout-outs for the end of the show for 100 to put in, and I ran out of time, and I ran into a bit of editing issues where it was only importing MP3 files, and I was like, I gotta get this fucking show done, and I kind of had to cut a few people, so I'm sorry, guys. I'll make it up.
I do want to thank all you guys for sending those in, though.
Yes,
that was awesome.
Yes,
good feels from everybody.
Total good feels, man. We like that. But
yeah, we love you guys stroking our ego. It's fucking sweet.
Yeah, I know. Instead of writing us horrible hate mail, it's awesome, man.
Yeah, once every 50 episodes or so, we can get these motherfuckers to send us nice comments.
I know. It literally was like 20 episodes of the most hated hate mail I've ever seen. I'm like, I got to quit this show. Everyone hates us. Then episode 100. We love you fucking guys. I'm like,
yeah.
What?
I think that's what it's all about. Hey, like, we should just hype this one up. We were like, you guys, it's coming. Just wait. Episode 101. And, like, hype it up a bunch. Maybe people will just think that it's, like, episode 100 again. And be like, fucking sweet. And start sending us MP3s and fucking telling us how awesome we are on Twitter. Because that was fucking cool.
That was pretty cool. Well, we got to look forward to something for 200, right? But this week, we got some awesome stuff, so let's start this show off with Commander spoilers.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go make a drink.
Ah, you know what? Okay, yeah, I'll be the first one to say this. These are Commander cards, but they don't fuel.
There's
some good cards. These just feels like the power level of like this Commander release is cranked. Like, they wanted to make...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, they want to really make an impression. Like, I'm going to start off, dude. We got Stoneforge Mystic, the Planeswalker. I did not see that coming at all. At all! So I'm like, what? So Stoneforge actually has a name. It's Nahiri. Nahiri, the Lithomancer. This is, again, I mean, if you follow Proxy Guy or I Am Narb, they're the best... super art illustrators.
They already have those motherfuckers decked out, right?
They do. He had the super art version done, like, within, I don't know, 25 minutes. But
before Wizard spoiled the actual version.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at the artwork, though, it's phenomenal. And I think one of my biggest gripes is these little window planeswalkers that, man, all that gorgeous artwork, it's all hidden by this gigantic block of text. But, yeah. small gripe, I think... Nahiri the Lithomancer is incredible. 5 mana, 3 and 2 white, starting off at 3 loyalty, which is pretty good. +2 makes a 1/1 white core with free, basically, attach equipment to it, which is awesome. -2, you put an equipment card from your hand or graveyard onto the battlefield. Sounds pretty badass. And -10 is like just, I don't even know if that's a good ultimate, but you get a fancy super sword. That's got 5/5 and double strike.
Dancy,
I mean, I don't know. Who cares? Like, at that point, that's...
I think that's probably sweet for Commander.
Yeah, like, okay. So, yeah, so that we're all not super Commander dudes, but I don't feel like... I'm not looking at any of these cards for Commander purposes because I don't really know too much about the format. but I do like this card.
Maybe before we go too deep into spoilers, we should talk about if we know dick about the Commander format to begin with.
Okay.
Yeah, not even a little bit. Yeah,
I play Commander.
The format is I don't like it.
look, for those of you who have followed the show long enough, me and Kevy tried to play Commander long time ago. We even streamed. Did we stream that game? We tried to play it with Durf. And it was a disaster. It's just ridiculous. I can't play Commander.
Kevy doesn't like it because the games don't end within five turns.
Exactly. That's what I say. Like normal fucking like modern and standard matches, if they go to like turn seven, I'm pretty much over it and ready to just concede and go to the next match. So,
I play Commander. I think it's Commander. A good format.
Oh man,
I like Commander.
Yeah, we need to start screening these motherfuckers more, Matty, before we bring them on the fucking
show. He's regretting his choice.
this is fucking terrible.
There is a 90-day return.
There's got to be somebody. There has to be some.
Yeah, no, I mean, I hate Commander. Fuck that fucking format.
No, it's actually a good thing. There's got to be somebody on this fucking cast that actually likes Commander. So.
Look,
I
don't play it as much as I used to. Like, I do like the format, but what drew me into the format the most was actually the deck building process.
Yeah.
Of, like, being limited to one card and, like, all these different colors. Like, so I have more Commander decks than I've actually played Commander. Like, I have
more decks
that I built
than
I've never played.
Crazy, I never actually play them, but fuck it.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, well, it's just, I like brewing, I like deck building, and that's one of the nice things about Commander is you can put in, like, one of everything, so you can have, like, these nutty interactions and all this synergy, or you can just make it, like, as powerful as you want. Like, I hate... Like, there's nothing worse than playing a Commander game with, like, four or five people, and it gets, like, 2 hours in, and then someone goes, instant win, fuck you! Like, I just, you know...
Yeah,
I feel them.
Like a lot
but, yeah, it's just miserable. But if you have, like, a great game of back and forth and, you know, everything, like, Commander is really fun.
My thoughts on the whole thing are, like, I like the format in terms of, like, again, I'm a brewer, too. Love building the decks. I like one-on-one Commander. I've played that a few times, and I really like that because that's neat. But
I think that's the first question to ask is, yeah. Like, David, you say you actually enjoy the format. Now, do you enjoy it as a 3-12 person game, Jess heads up, all of the above, like, because
I like it when it's like the sweet spot is between 3 and 5. Like, Commander, it's meant to be multiplayer. Like, one on one is fine. Like, I've played it before and it's okay. But, like, optimally, I would say 4. 3 is good. 5 is like you're pushing the limits. I would never play with more than 5 people because the games last forever. I think I played a 7 person game once and. Like, people were just like, hey, kill me. I won't even block. Just attack. I won't block. Like, you just get sick of it after a while. It's like people are doing these nutty things. Their turns take forever because they got, like, 14 million things to do on their turn. And, you know, you have to cast a spell and then look at, like, 8 different people. Like, any responses? Any interactions? You know? And so, like, you get too many people, it's very, very unfun. And, you know, to me, like, the one-on-one thing, it's not that great. Like, you know, EDH decks are supposed to be built to be, you know, political, you know, you have, you know,
right.
Allies and enemies. And, you know, there's a lot of cards that they made specifically for Commander where you know, those vows where you enchant something and like, it can't attack you. It can attack everything else and it gives it a bonus, you know? So like, there's a lot of political stuff that makes it really fun. And you see a lot of, you know, I don't know how many times I've had like friends, like look at each other and be like, you know, if you do this, I can kill him or I can take care of that, you know, and
right,
so you want multiple people, but one-on-one's okay. But yeah, once you get past a certain limit and fuck EDH, I won't play it.
The best Commander game I've ever had is when I played a 4-man game, but we played enemies versus allies. So it's like you two are the enemies, we're two the allies, and it's like just head on games. And that was fun because it's fast. And I would almost want to play Commander with a chess clock, because I agree, like, I can't stand when you, because your mind is, like, out of the game when someone's like, and then I do this, and then I do this, and then I recycle this,
yeah.
And now I'm making this, but then I'm sacking this, okay? Does that do okay? And it's just like, okay, well, I'm going to go to sleep now, you know?
Yeah,
and,
wake me when it's my turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't handle shit. And then on top of it, I'm like, you know me, I like to play fucking aggro anyway, and so I'm just all right, fine, I'll play EDH. Fuck it, let's see what happens. And then I do what I want to do and just try to kill somebody as fast as I possibly can. And then that doesn't work because then I use all my resources and all my time trying to kill somebody. Because, of course, if you start just splitting up damage across the, you know, three, four people, then it doesn't really make a dent and doesn't do any good. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to start killing this motherfucker first. And then I die. And I'm like, this game is stupid because I'll kill this guy, but everybody else is like, nope, he's coming for me next. Got to kill him. So I'm like, you know what? How about instead of doing this, we play any other format of Magic out there at all whatsoever. I'm sure, like, you know, later on down the road when I get further into this game and I, like, I don't know, maybe if I ever get into playing past turn five, I might enjoy it. But, god damn it, do I not enjoy it now?
Well, I guess the next question would be, does any of these cards make you want to play Commander?
If I'm a multiplayer player and have games that last 2 hours, I'd much rather play Booze Cube.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather play Cube. I know everyone's like, stop talking about Cube, but man, like...
Well, that's not going to happen. Okay. So I'll
Well, I've read the Twitter feeds.
Well, let's get back on topic, sure. Because the Commander cards are what's spoiled, and that's what people are interested in
now. I don't have any Booze Cube spoilers.
I mean, my experience with this format was, I would say, short-lived, and I actually only built a few monocolored decks, which is actually kind of what the product we're getting this winter is, and I think that's probably one of the reasons we're seeing kind of exciting cards from our perspective for formats that aren't Commander, because generally, the long storied history of the EDH format, it's a lot of gold-colored decks and playing a lot of cards that wouldn't see play in other formats. In many ways, that was how it spawned. But my personal experience has been much more with, you know, I went down the Kevi route. I built an Isimaru deck, was one of the first decks I ever built with a sizable equipment package. So, you know, it was all about beating down. And I've played a couple of two-player games, a couple of six-player games. Definitely any time you're sitting there not doing anything is, like, the worst thing in the world. And if I was going to play Commander, I would only want to play it heads up. But at the same time, you kind of lose all these great cards like the Vows or even some of the ones we're going to touch on here tonight that are new, that are very multiplayer centric. Wizards even pushing that further. And since that's the case, I think that I found a new love for the concept of Commander, similar to how people keep the archenemy precons together or even last year's Commander set of precons together. I would possibly play the precons against each other because I know they're evenly matched and they're not going to sit there and jerk off on their turn for 15 minutes. And I think that this product goes a long way there. But the format itself, not a big fan of, and would only play heads up.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, what do we think in terms of, like... Okay, so obviously, like, our review is not going to be the, hey, this is great cards for Commander review. It's kind of more like, hey, these are legacy cards, and maybe these are Cube cards.
Well, I think we can do all of
it. Okay,
like,
let's do it.
I can certainly attest to, like, which cards are great in Commander, and then, you know, all of us can sit there and say, you know, which cards are great in, you know, Legacy or you know, obviously TSG will be the go-to for the Cube.
David, you've been playing the most Commander of any of us. Have you ever referred to something in your deck as a lieutenant before?
I have not. Like, I don't know whether this is something like the hardcore or like people that, because generally when you build an EDH deck, you try to have at least like two or three cards in the deck that can be your general, like you know, if you're playing like you know, what's good like Jund, you know, you can have Sek Kuard, or you can have Kresh the Blood Braided, so that way if you play somebody else who has that general, you can swap one out. So I don't know whether people have referred to those other ones that they generally don't play with as their lieutenant or whatever, but I feel like this is just a new concept that it's a new mechanic that they're injecting into.
Yeah, it's going to be Commander, an ongoing evergreen mechanic for the Commander format.
Yeah, which so, I think is cool.
Yeah,
I think that's great.
Actually really good.
I mean, we started small with Command Tower, and that didn't really ruffle anybody's feathers. Because if you think about it, I know I was one of those people when I was like, whoa, Commander only cards? Like, why don't you just print blank pieces of paper? Because every time I open them, they're useless to me. But thankfully, I haven't really been affected by any of those type of cards. And from this cycle of lieutenants we see out of this year's expansion, there's not a lot of love lost or not lost to anybody. So I think that it's just more of a general, you know, upside. And a lot of these are great. I mean, you've got an Angel, you've got a Kraken, you've got a Dragon, you've got a lot of sweet lieutenants. I think that that's going to be, again, another incentive to want to play these precons for myself in the future.
Yeah, I don't think it should ruffle anybody's feathers. I mean, you're going and buying a commander precon. Like, obviously, you know, if they make, like, what I view as a mistake, like with True Name Nemesis and things like that, you're going to get people that are hardcore that are going to buy them for those cards. But, I mean, these are made for people that play EDH. And I have friends, that's all they play. That's all they're interested in is EDH. It's Commander. And in my experience, like, Commander is built around those people that want to cast those stupid expensive but incredibly powerful cards, you know, like Time Stretch and, you know, things like that, where in Constructed, you're never going to cast those. They cost way too much. Like, they're easily dealt with Disruption. But in Commander, you can do all these things. You know, you're playing these big games and doing, like, these stupid, crazy things. You know, like, I remember, you know, like, it's just the weird interactions that happen with cards that just generally aren't played together. Because, you know, you steal other people's cards, you redirect their spells, and things like that. So, you know, Commander, as long as they put in these Commander-only cards in the Commander precons and it's just a few cards, it's not like the entire thing is only Commander legal, I don't think it's going to mess with anybody, and I think it's definitely supporting the Commander, EDH, whatever you want to call it, community. And I think it's good. I think it's nice to actually start putting in mechanics for these formats that are purely, well, I mean, I guess that now they're FNM legal, you know, now you can play Commander for FNM, and, you know, you're going to get more of, I think this is maybe just a way for Wizards to try and get some of the casual only people into some of the more competitive events. I don't know.
I mean, I remember event decks were always, you know, people laughed at them as far as FNM was concerned, but now if you had a Commander event as your FNM at your store, I could definitely see picking up a precon like this and getting involved in some fun games that I would not feel slighted that it's like, oh, I only have two dual lands in my precon, like I can't play all my spells on time and I'm getting beat by whatever the standard deck of the moment is. This is terrible. You know, Commander precons with a Commander based FNM could go a lot further.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, like I was saying, I don't think these Commander-only cards are going to and even if they were like more angled than they are with the Commander precons, like that's what it is. I mean, it's a Commander deck, and you know, and they're only putting in, you know, a few cards that are completely usable only in an EDH deck. So I think, so far, what I've seen, these are really good.
I think it.
They're switching it up, you know, going from, like, tricolor to monocolor. I don't know where they'll go from that, like, switch to the other shards, but, you know, I think that they have their ear to the ground really well and answering, you know, the call of a lot of fans.
It's what Wizards does, man. One year it's monocolor, the next it's more.
No, I think it's a good thing. As much as I don't like playing the format personally, I think it is definitely a good thing. Like, I like the fact that it kind of, you know, I mean, not that they do the Commander set fucking every year now, but, like, it coincides with it being able to be a FNM sanctioned format. You know, like you said, possibly bringing in some of these casuals that would never really go out of their hole to come play except for with their, like, kitchen table group. And, you know, I don't see any problem with, fuck, dude, if they printed half the cards in these fucking sets said for Commander only, that's what they're for anyway. You know, it's sweet if you can fucking, if you get a good reprint, you know, if you get, like, some, or something like True Name that ends up being a fucking, you know, a constructed fucking, like,
legacy
tournament
card.
Staple, legacy card or whatever. But if you, like, you know, if you just have some fucking good reprints. And I'm like, I didn't see it in the Mythic spoiler page, but I saw somebody, or I think Wizards posted something on Twitter just a little bit ago. Did Wormcoil get reprinted in this?
Yep.
Yeah, Wormcoil is reprinted. And I'm unsure. I think that they're going to reprint Batterskull.
No, it's not.
It's a living weapon, one of the crappy living weapons.
Yeah, someone already said it's Lashwraith. For the black decks.
Oh, Lashwraith. Oh, okay.
I mean, we can all hope and agree that these are going to have a ton of value for all other format players, mm-hmm. More so than the last year's release because they are monocolored cards. And we all remember Maddie's story of fighting to get a Mind Seize at a target last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, that,
yes,
now, yeah. Now, what? Now, this. Well, we haven't seen all the cards, but I wonder which. Yeah, I like. See, this is where I wonder: did they learn? Like, did they learn, and did they balance the value of these better? This will be curious to see.
I mean, so far we haven't even really broken down a lot of the individual cards. I think I'm pretty much going to have to dip my toe into every single one of these things for a cube card here or there. I'm not sure how I'm going to do it this year. I mean, last year I just I picked up a wholesale set. I took two of them apart and then filled them in with some other cards and then had newer players that I have met battle with them. So that ended up being a decent investment to get value out of them. But this year, I don't know. There's a lot of
good
cards.
It's like, is it going to end up being worth buying a set of them or just buying the singles that you need out of it? Because it also brings up the, like, when they get a reprint, like, if there's a few cube staples or cube cards that you want out of them, but you know, whether they're reprints or whether it's just new cards out of these, like, is it going to be, if they're reprints, they're probably going to bring the price of those down. And if they're just in this set, it's something new for this set that they made. Like, I can't see them being ridiculous. Like, yeah, True Name was one thing, but I don't know, see them making a True Name mistake again. But,
I don't know. I'd imagine by the end of this segment, we're all going to be pretty jazzed on a lot of the cards out of this coming set.
I like them. I'm going to buy
them. A lot of the cards are exciting. And that was, you know, Kevy kind of touched on it, is like the problem with the last set is, they didn't realize, like, True Name Nemesis was just kind of a mistake.
Oh,
like, that was
they
just
knew,
too powerful.
They knew exactly
but on top of
what
that, it, like, well, I mean, I don't know whether they knew.
They knew that, they made a powerful card.
I mean, exactly.
They knew
they
it was powerful.
Powerful.
I just don't think they realized, like, how powerful and how, like, unfun. Like, I knew they probably knew it was powerful, but they just didn't realize how unfun that card is, how uninteractive that card is. And it kind of warped the format for a while because, like, you had to play specific answers to that card, like cards that, you know, mm-hmm. answers that you didn't normally play. Those were the new cards are what warped the value of those, because, like, that one had the True Name Nemesis and then, like, Toxic Deluge, which is another very powerful mm-hmm. card that Legacy players picked up on real quick. And then there was one that had that like that white exile. I can't remember the name of that card, but it's
unexpectedly absent.
Yep.
What? Unexpectedly absent?
Yep. That's the one.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, they printed these new cards that, you know, on the surface, they don't jump out. Like, that one certainly, and Toxic Deluge, I was like, wow, this is really good, but I'm not that keyed up on Legacy yet. So I didn't realize, like, how good these cards were. And I'm not sure that Wizards realized either how much that these were going to impact Legacy. And I think that's what warped the value. I think those two decks were by far the most valuable. The other ones stayed roughly around the
right.
The
so
MSRP.
So that's what I'm saying. So I'm hopefully that they understood that whatever they're doing, like, you know, put Wyrmcoil in the set that you think is going to be the least opened. You know what I mean? Like, I hope they've just balanced. Not,
well,
not
you've
only
also
like gameplay wise,
they can balance the ones that they know really well. It's the new cards
yeah,
that they don't
okay,
understand.
Yeah, yeah,
the
I agree.
Demand.
I agree.
Well, look what happened with the last one, though. I mean, look how the fucking hell you went through to get a fucking Mindseize deck, and now you can get them fucking wherever. It's fine because, like, you know, they had said in the beginning, they're like, yeah, we're gonna keep printing these motherfuckers. As long as people want to keep buying them, you know, this isn't a limited run like we had just gone through with fucking Modern Masters. And so they're like, all right, yeah, you know, we're going to keep printing these. But of course, you know, there's the people that needed to get their hands on them because they needed to play them in their Legacy decks. And fucking, you know, that was that. And then there was the people that were like, oh my God, this card's fucking amazing and it's spiking. So I have to go try to fucking find mine. And it's like, yeah. And then everybody, that hype train fucking died off. And everybody's like, oh, there are a fuck ton of these being fucking shipped to our Walmart. So it got to the point where you'd see them all the time. You know, it was like no big deal. And you could go pick up a fucking Mindseize fucking deck like nobody's business. It was just huge right in the beginning. So I think that the magic that just happening with the last ones, and everybody's going to remember the fucking Mindseize fucking True Name debacle. And it, like, I think a lot of the people will calm the fuck down on it this time around. If there is something really big, something that maybe Wizards didn't see coming that warps a format or that fucking really changes things, or is a really fucking just expensive card that nobody saw coming, people aren't going to be as apt to be like, oh yeah, dude, I'm going to go fight people at Walmart to get a hold of the one fucking copy of this deck, because they know that there's plenty to go around.
I disagree.
I don't know. Like,
I think
it might
be
less, but it'll still be bad, because what you're failing to identify is that a lot of these cards people were after four tournaments like right around that time. Like I saw people scrambling at SCG LA to get you know, True Name Nemesis for the Legacy tournament on Sunday. Like you know, I sold like two or three of my True Names for like 50% you know, higher than they were selling at the stores because none of them had them. So you still
I think if you're looking for any evidence here that this sunk into them and they get it, I think it's that they had to issue a statement and change their distribution to send people during the second and third waves additional copies of the Mind Seize deck.
Of the Mind Seize deck, right.
Not not wanting to screw with their print runs and the way that they produce products. You know, they're going to stop, even if it's a one-year print cycle, they're going to stop and look at that and make sure that that issue does not arise again. So I'm not going into this product fearing a True Name Nemesis situation. I don't expect someone to show up at the first SCG event after this is released and be, you know, paying $160 to rip open boxes to get four cards out of them. I don't think that's going to be their problem.
Yeah. All right, you heard it here, folks. We haven't seen the full spoiler. Watch this on Friday.
That is you can timestamp it, mark it, whatever you want.
Mark that.
All right, well,
and you need to get soundboard. We have talked about how bad last year's experience was long enough.
Yeah,
I would like to move on to some new cards and talk about how exciting those are. And not in a it's going to be worth $40 tomorrow type situation, but more in a I might put this in my cube. How sweet.
What's
is
going
this?
In the cube situation?
Yeah, so, you know, going all the way down to the bottom of Mythic Spoiler where we first started, because I swear we did our show last week, and then within 24 hours, Commander Spoilers were hitting. You guys saw Felden, the now kind of a Mimic Vat.
Of the third path.
Yeah, kind of a bit of a shallow grave corpse dance type guy right there. He's pretty exciting.
I love this card, man. Read what it does, TSG.
So for double red and one colorless, you have a 2/3 legendary human artificer. And for two colorless and a red, you can tap him to put a token onto the battlefield as a copy of target creature in your graveyard. Except it also becomes an artifact in addition to its other types. It gains haste, and then you sacrifice it at the next end step.
And you do not exile it.
Right, so you get death triggers, you get ETB triggers, you get the ability to go to an end step, activate this, and then be able to activate it again on the next turn to get two copies of said creature. Unlike Kiki-Jiki, you can make copies of legendary things. It's also artifacts for all your affinity needs or your shrapnel blast-related needs. And it's got, you know, it's got a 3 toughness butt on it, which is a kind of a big deal, in my opinion.
Yep. I think this card's crazy. Like, I'm not sure that it... Like, in Legacy, if there's a way to, like, I don't know, get Grizzlebrand any faster with him, but...
No, probably not.
But, like, in Cube, for Cube, like, this is the one card that we were talking about, like, with Red, that I just want... I want Red to have other things to do. So giving Red, like, a reanimator type feel to it, and, you know, you got Faithless Looting, and now Red is... I guess they're kind of giving it this, like, you know, draw to, discard to kind of...
Tibble!
Yeah,
Tibble's coming back to can start dumping shit in your graveyard.
You know what? Maybe. Maybe fucking Tibble's...
No.
I mean, the conversation that we had a while ago about, you know, can Red do anything else in Cube other than deal damage to things? This is definitely a step in the right direction. He's going to enable a lot of great stuff that I can't even foresee right now, but... Definitely in a vacuum, looking at what this card is capable of, I'll be putting it in my own cube and look forward to activating it for many a different thing in the near future.
No, I'm stoked about it for exactly those reasons. I think that, like, as much as I personally like to do the things that Red already does well, I like the fact that it does give you that a little bit of a reach with a red card and be able to splash red, you know.
Well, I mean, he's double red. That's my only drawback to this card. I wish it wasn't double red.
I mean, it still is. Like, I mean, it's not a huge deal. Or just like you said, bring red in a different direction. Be able to kind of build, even if you're building a fucking, you know, red and X other fucking color deck, but not like, oh, sweet, I got a burn deck that's splashing black for bump of the night. You know, it's, you can do other things with it. And especially its interaction, like, I don't know. I feel like he's like with the artifact thing. Like I said, that brings in a lot too, because then you can go, you know, splat, or you can run a two color deck, red being one of them, and then whatever your other color is doing well, and then a lot of artifact stuff too. Like I do like it because it does give a little bit of reach to red.
Awesome.
Similarly, is the next card on my list, which has been the talk of the town for the last week. in Dualcaster Mage.
You mean Snapcaster Mage?
Yes, I do mean Snapcaster Mage. And
the fiery
I'm gonna stay right out of the gate here. Yes, everyone on Twitter and people I run into on the street and at Magic stores, this card would be a lot better if it cost one red and one colorless. I get it. I'm not saying it wouldn't be. I'm saying I'm pretty jazzed about this card as it exists already. Maybe it's because I'm old and decrepit and remember playing the card Fork. And if that card has legs, how sweet that
is. Yeah. That, I like it, dude. Dualcaster Mage sounds awesome. I've heard people talking about it potentially in Legacy, which feels it's a little too slow for Legacy, but maybe.
I mean, when I've
been
playing Magic,
I don't know what it's. If it was in Legacy, it would be like a niche sideboard card.
Yeah, it's a sideboard card, right?
It's actually coming up in the competitive.
But in
format,
Cube or EDH, like this card is
sweet,
awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how many 8 and 6 cost instants and sorceries like run around in EDH, and you just, you know, pay 3 and drop a little dork and copy it and get your own for, you know, half the cost, if one third the cost, you know, like,
right.
really, really powerful.
Yeah, I agree.
You think you're gonna tooth and nail? Hold on, I'm gonna tooth and nail first.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's sweet, dude. I love it, man. Like, great card, beautiful card. I mean, it's just so simple. It's straightforward, good card.
Yeah, I mean, for a long time when I was cubing, Fork was a lot of fun because there was always that threat of the red mage having, you know, countering your counterspell or, you know, using your tooth and nail or your harrow or something. And now we get to have that Anna has legs. Even the artwork is hilarious. I mean, he's pouring one out for his home. I love it.
Yeah.
One for you, bro. The card that I think I'm still the most psyched. Yes.
Off that, does that work with like sneak attack? Like, does that have shenanigans with like sneak attack and fucking?
That's an enchantment.
What else might? Oh yeah, that is an enchantment. Goddamn it! What else? I can't
see
think of
the possibilities are near endless. We haven't even started to play with the card yet.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Getting to corner case where there's one thing, but it just feels like you could just bring in some gnarly shit, do like a reanimating stuff. I don't know.
You can counter your opponent's reanimate. Like they cast reanimate, you flash this guy
steal
in, copy
their
the
shit.
Reanimate, target the exact same creature they're targeting, and you get the guy.
Oh, like
first.
How dirty is that? Like this card is so cube worthy, dude. This is gonna add depth to games. Love it. The card though that I'm really excited about is Reef Worm. I think this card sounds awesome. So it's 3 and a blue. It's just a worm. It's an 0/1. You're like, why is this exciting? And I'm like, well, hold on. It's got a block of fucking text here. So basically, when Reef Worm dies, you put a 3/3 blue fish creature token onto the battlefield. With when this creature dies, put a 6/6 blue whale creature token on the battlefield. With when this creature dies, put a fucking Kraken onto the battlefield. Now, I don't know, but there's a shit ton of sac outlets and
yeah, I was gonna say sac outlets.
And doubling season. And this what? Oh, and a sac outlet. It's like, okay, well, there's an army.
This card is a lot more fun than like a Chronozoa or like a Mycotic Slime, in my opinion. Yep. And I mean, I love the flavor to me because it's like you have a tapeworm that could only be satiated by Kraken.
It's the worm in the bottle of the tequila, man. I think it's just a great card. I don't know if it's too slow for Cube, but I'm going to put it in anyways because I just think that's one of those cards that you get on the table and shit, like, stuff just starts to happen. So
you always got
to
look for something to do with those
at the very least, isn't that a sweet little fucking wall for a control deck? Like, I mean, at its basis, without even abusing it, it's just like, all right, shit up. Well, yeah, I'm just going to shit out this little bit. You know, I'm sitting back here playing my counter spells, and I've got this other game plan, but it's like, you know, shit, rather than playing a wall to hide behind, I've got this thing, and it's, you know, it's sweet. So you chump block with it, and then it's a 6/6, and then you chump block with it. Or, you know, even if they fucking kill it, it's like, all right, sweet, I got a 6/6. Now I got a 9/9, and the motherfucker, a 9/9 is a big motherfucker.
Yeah, like,
and it just like,
Like drafting the blue-white, like, kind of control deck with this creature, it's crazy because you just like wrath the board, you know, or attack into me, block, get a 3/3, then wrath the board, kill all your dudes. Now I got a 6/6, then wrath the board again. Okay, now I got a 9. Like,
I love it.
I love this card.
I like. I love this card, but I also love the fact that, like, I don't know why it just dawned on me. It's like, bringing TSG and David onto this cast has got to be fucking sweet. Because the way we evaluate cards, Maddie, is like, oh, this would be fucking funny. And then, like, these two actually know how to play Magic. And I know they're both probably shaking their head with their fucking head in their face in their hand right now. And then they'll be able to tell us, like, the real ramifications of this card when we're done wildly speculating about the fucking tricksy funsy shit we can do with it.
Hey, man, everybody, you got to give every part of the demographic. Yeah.
You gotta hit everybody, and that's why those motherfuckers are here.
What about you, Kevin? Have you looked at any of these yet?
No, literally, like I've been like I've gotten zero chance to because I've been fucking like Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday all day. I've been in Toronto, which we don't have cell service there, and so I've got like a couple minutes in the morning, like on my way to work to look at Twitter and shit. So I've barely caught any glimpses of any of this shit. So yeah, most of this stuff I've seen I've seen a little bit of it, but most of it I haven't really given it more than a glance of. So,
all right, well let's take a couple more cards then.
What about list goes on forever. You've already talked about our White Plains Walker, yes. But back to back here you've got Obnixilis and you've got what is it, Felice? How do you say her name?
Fraelise.
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 Fairly.
Can you hear
me? I do
me?
Like how since these planeswalkers can be commanders, they kind of live through their ultimates, the way their loyalty chain works out, which isn't something you generally see out of planeswalkers. You know, if you have somebody with a +2, yeah, odds are they're going to be able to live through their ultimate. Mm-hmm. And both of these planeswalkers have that capacity. With that said, the fact that they can be your general, and the same problem we've seen recurring with that is that they're not really great for other formats. Obnixilis, specifically in a heads-up format, he's a 5-mana make a demon
Garbo.
And then maybe do something guy, which I'm not super jazzed on, but Black is in desperate need of planeswalkers and cubes, so maybe. And then this green one, I'm not a huge fan of, but what do other people think?
I mean, the green one's cool.
I think it's bad.
It's not that it's good. But, I mean, it's cool. Like, you get an elf with a fucking eye patch? Or is she...
That seriously, that's my favorite part of this fucking card. She got a fucking eye patch.
Like,
I have fucking...
That's the highest praise a card can get. It's not that it's bad.
But this brought an eye patch.
That'll get you excited.
She's got a fucking eye patch, man. Like, come on. You gotta already be like,
well,
what?
Well, the art is cool. Yeah. I mean, the art on a lot of these cards is cool. It doesn't make the card
good.
No,
of course not. But, I mean, hey, destroying a target enchantment or artifact, is that reasonable in Commander? Kind of, I guess.
I mean, in Commander, it's a utility card and it's super key. Like, if you're playing any of these in the Commander format themselves, I think they're fine cards. I mean, Obnixilis' stock obviously rises when you're playing in a 4-6 person game that's going to go super long. Do these cards? Here's prime examples where like they're considered mythics, they're planeswalkers, they have all this intrinsic value based on that already. But would anyone actually want to play with these cards beyond the Commander format?
I wouldn't even be excited getting these as my generals. You know?
Yeah, I think that they did a good job of balancing the Planeswalkers for Commander. Like, you know, I look at these cards and they all do, you know, fun things or powerful things in Commander, but like their cost is prohibitive in you know, especially since the only constructed format is Legacy and Vintage, so these all cost way too much and do way too little to be played in Legacy. So these are all casual cards, and you know, for that they hit the mark for those. They do just enough that they're fun, they're interactive, but they're not going to break the game.
Well, what about our Goblin Planeswalker? Because that guy feels like...
The Tinker?
Yeah.
The Goblin Welder?
He sounds... I mean, his +2 is just like discard up to 2 cards, then draw that many cards? That's... I'd be doing that. That's... I like his plus a lot, dude. Love the minus? Like...
Yeah.
He gets shit back.
Well, like I said,
feels
I mean, they do fun things. They do powerful things, but, you know, you're never going to play this in Legacy or Vintage.
No.
It's just... too cost prohibitive and easily dealt with. So that's what I was talking about. Like, they do fun, interactive, powerful things that you know, you can angle your deck to take advantage of. but you're only going to play it in this format.
Yeah, I think
as far as with the goblin, as far as cube goes, like we were talking about the red thing earlier. You know, it getting away from the things that red normally does, but especially with the artifact fucking thing that the what's his name that Felden or whatever we were talking about at first. Like, does this kind of just go hand in hand with that and just here, let's just rock some red artifact stuff? Like, is this? Do you think?
I can't speak for TSG, but I personally would not take Goblin Welder out of my cube for this.
No. I think they work together.
I don't think they're all that comparable. I think that if, you know, red is teetering on this whole, well, the way we get card advantage is we exile cards temporarily versus we now do some form of discard for card replacement. And we're still kind of in a gray area where red's kind of on the fence about which of those things it's going to do. And I definitely think that, what is it, Duretti, the scrap savant, if he's just a 4-mana better Tybalt, I mean, that's something. You've got that going for you where you've got Faceless Shooting on a stick every turn.
Yeah, Tybalt would have been sweet if you could you can discard your cards and then draw those. Like, Tybalt's first ability would have been sweet rather than just, like, draw cards and then discard that many at random.
Well, it's also at random, isn't it, with Tybalt?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why Tybalt is garbage. But
well,
like,
that's the biggest reason is that it's at random. Like, you know,
yeah, it's at random.
Whether you discard or draw first doesn't matter so much as
right,
the fact that what you're discarding is totally at random.
Right. No, that makes sense.
In most, for example, you know, in a commander deck, yes, this guy is heavily a build around me card. There's great accessories, even in this precon series, to really make a new red archetype for
animator
for the format, for just artifact in general, which you know, I think that is easily the number one thing that Wizards saw a hole in, is the red commander deck, mono red commander decks. Like, yeah, what do? The same thing that cubes do. They deal a lot of damage. That's it.
Yeah.
So the fact that they can do anything else is pretty exciting. And in my opinion, slowly but surely, that will translate into better cards and better archetypes for cube. These particular cards, I'm not jumping at the bit to play with. I know that there's also a Living Death version of that was a Scrap Mastery that's similar for artifacts to Living Death. And while all those effects are all still cute, I don't think there's enough there yet to make a new archetype for my own cube.
Hmm. Okay.
I just like the fact that he supports any type of reanimator strategy. Hmm. Like,
well, and he's also with the one red, or like the one red in the casting cost.
Yeah,
I feel like
I like
with my cube, I might drop this dude in there. I don't know, just because, you know, it does things. And yeah, it is definitely splashable at, you know, 4 casting costs, and just one red is nice.
Now,
but then again, my cube isn't as streamlined as TSG's or David's probably.
Now the card that's just a fucking blowout and feel bad city is Angel of Dire Hour, but God, I want to be the guy to flash that thing in. I know it's 7 mana, but there's got to be ways to cheat this sucker in cube. But wow.
Don't you have to cast it from your hand?
Enters the battlefield. Oh, if you cast it. Well.
See, that one's a blowout. The one that, like, blows my mind is that Wave of Vitriol. You want to talk about a blowout.
Yeah, that's...
Are you guys familiar with that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's much more, in my opinion. So Wave of Vitriol for double green and 5 colorless. Each player sacrifices all of their artifacts, all of their enchantments, and all of their non-basic lands. And then for each land sacrificed this way, its controller may search their library for a basic land card and put it on the battlefield tapped. Oh, it's a good thing I read that card entirely. I thought you had to search your library for a basic land for every artifact and enchantment that was also destroyed. So you get a mass creeping mold that will get a lot of those players that are playing heavy non-basic land mana bases in the commander format. It heads up in the precons. I don't know how exciting these cards are.
No. In the precons, you know, if you're playing everybody with precons, it's not going to do that much. But like I said, I play commander. Almost everybody has three color decks. Like my personal deck that I play right now is, you know, 5 color Progenitals. Progenitus, excuse me. But, you know, if somebody cast this card against that deck, I would probably just, you know, cry. Because I have maybe 4 basic lands in my entire deck. Like, so they're just going to wipe everything, like, destroy almost all of my mana, and then I'm not going to be able to replace
it. And it's destroying your mana rocks. Like, that's the thing, too. It's all your artifacts and enchantments and non-basics. Like, Yeah, that card is dirty.
Yeah, if a mono green deck plays this and they're playing against people like me that like to, you know, throw all the colors in so they can play with all their favorite cards, like
all the funsies.
They're just the fun's over. They're gonna cry.
The fun's over.
The green mage is gonna be like, "That's what you get, you greedy son of a bitch."
That is the wave of vitriol.
That seems like the most potential blowout.
It combos well with the second favorite card in the commander set so far, that being Titania, the Protector of Argoth, the 5/3 for 3 double green.
When it comes into play, bring a land back, and anytime a land hits the graveyard or is it when it comes into the battlefield?
So when she enters the battlefield, you can return a land from your graveyard to play. So if you have a fetch land anywhere in your first 4 or 5 turns, she's already just instant value. And then whenever a land
but it triggers off of a land entering the graveyard, though, right? So you need the sack. You need the fetch lands.
She takes a land from the graveyard, puts it on the battlefield when she enters play. So it did. I mean, fetch lands are the easiest way to get value out of this card. It's not exclusively that way. Like example.
No. I'm just making sure
she has two modes. So the first mode is
What I'm saying is that whenever a land enters the graveyard, so it's not when land enters the battlefield that you get that 5/3. So what I was saying is you need those fetch lands or sack outlets for your lands to take advantage of her.
Yeah, or in a cube environment, if your opponent's playing land destruction, you have an easy thwart to that, which I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah. I was just clarifying that the trigger for the 5/3 was when a land
graveyard
dies, essentially. Yes. Goes to the graveyard.
Yeah, when a land
your
land's
dies.
Not entering the battlefield. So you have to, play. So to me, this is kind of a weird card. Like, for what TSD was saying, it's great. You know, in cube, if you play all the fetches and whatnot. But this is coming in a mono-green pre-con. So, like, you're playing with fetches that you probably don't need because you're playing a mono-color deck. Like, why are you
going to
have...
I think they're talking about, like, as people are going to take this card, rip it apart, and put it in their other decks. Like, could you imagine,
I'm just saying, in the pre-con, this card does not make a lot of sense.
Right, but, like...
Yeah. I mean, there's some plants in there as well. Like, we went over Myriad Landscape. Maddie was super excited about it last week.
Yeah.
The one that enters the battlefield tapped, and you could pay 2 and sack it to search your library for 2 basic land cards and share a land type.
Yeah.
I mean, there's tons of ways to take advantage of it. I mean, could you imagine having her out and then casting Scapeshift?
Or Armageddon, just blow the board.
Oh, yeah, Armageddon, put a green-white, just land.
Yeah, and then it's like, I get, 10, 5, 3 as I kill everyone next turn. Like, what?
Speaking of that,
it's a very powerful card. It's just in that pre-con, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It seems like they made this card
for the future
in
the
understanding
of the format,
that it was going to be abused elsewhere.
And I think they should.
And I should read spoilers more often, because as I'm reading through a lot of these that I haven't seen yet, I'm like, God damn it, there's some good cards.
I told you, man.
And speaking of that, is this not retarded? The Spoils of Blood, fucking 1 black at instant speed.
Like fuck your wrath card.
Yeah,
exactly. You put an XX horror creature on the battlefield where X the number of creatures that died this turn at instant speed for 1 black. That just seems a little bit broken.
Oh, like imagine some token deck. Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's really good.
Insane.
But we touched on it earlier, like the cards that are specifically made to engender that political quality in EDH. Like one of mine is that Sylvan Offering, where you pick another player
who gets the 1/1
in the game, and you cast green and X, and then an opponent and you put an XX green tree folk creature onto the battlefield, and then you also put X 1/1 green elf warrior tokens. So like you are giving essentially the same benefit to one of your opponents. So it's like, you're not a threat to me, or we're both weak to this guy. So boom, we both get this army that they have to take care of. And I think each card or each color has one, like the Infernal Offering. You each sacrifice. But that one to me seems like the best, because you can use that one and not give your opponent a benefit.
Yeah.
Like if you're playing an opponent that doesn't have a creature, you're just like, hey, guess what? You and I each sacrifice a creature and draw cards and do all that stuff. And if they don't have a creature, you just essentially gained all of the benefit without actually helping any of your opponents. But I like the fact that they have those cards where there's that political quality to it.
That bitter feud, the red one, was the one I was kind of looking at earlier. That, of course, I mean, it's five mana. Well, I mean, well, that says Infernal Offering, but like that one's another one of those political things, I guess, on the other side of things, where you just pick two players. If a source controlled by one of the chosen players would deal damage to that other chosen player, or the permanent that player controls, source deals double that damage to that player or permanent instead. So like you just fucking you pick two of your fucking opponents and just be like, well, this guy's not dealing damage, this guy is.
Yeah, it's like a one-sided furnace of wrath.
Yeah, yeah, it's fucking. I do like those cards. Again, not a big fan of the format, but like of Commander, but like I could see those being fun another day.
I want to talk about a card that just feels super powerful, man. Malicious Affliction. So this feels like a really powerful, like, Doomblade. So it's a 2-black instant. It's got a Morbid trigger on it. So you can basically destroy target non-black creature. But if Morbid triggers, when you cast Malicious Affliction, if a creature died this turn, you may copy it. Wow. So for 2 mana, kill 2 creatures?
Oh, I get you.
That sounds really good.
Double targeted removal does sound pretty nice, especially at instant speed. In my queue right now, I have kind of a floating removal spot. I think it's currently sitting on Victim of Night. There was talk about making it a murderous cut, and I think that now Malicious Affliction will enter into the ring, into that conversation as well, where it'll have to be weighed with the pros and cons.
Maybe possibly taking that
there's,
spot.
There's value to be
I mean, Silence See, the
I
Believers?
Think, I think this is one of those cards that when you read it, it seems better than it is. Like, I think this is one of those cards that's really only great in Commander, because to take full advantage of this, another creature has to die, and then you're killing 2 other creatures. So you have to have
So its own ability doesn't cause the death trigger?
No. A creature has to die before you cast this spell to gain the Morbid ability.
When you cast this, if a creature died this turn, so it's like when you cast it,
there has to be another creature that already died. Now, there are certain situations one-on-one that this is still great. Like, you all out attack, or they all out attack, and you block, and a creature dies, and then you get to trigger this and kill off 2 creatures that might, say, kill you. So I'm not saying it's not powerful. Not saying that whatsoever. It's situational to the extreme in the fact that there has to be a lot of creatures out for you to be taking full advantage of this. In a commander game where there's tons and tons of players and they all have threats and creatures out that need to be taken care of, you can piggyback off of someone else's removal spell, take advantage of it, use another one before this if the game goes long, and then get 3 creatures for 2, on and so forth. But this is one of those cards that I really don't see it seeing play in Legacy. And if it does, at most, elves or goblins or something along those lines. And it's still just not better than Engineered Plague or Pyroclasm against those decks. So I just don't see it breaking into anything other than Commander or possibly Cube.
The other card that sounds... go on.
I was saying, like, right next to that, I'm kind of curious because I just was reading that Arcane Lighthouse. Is that card good or not?
We had Glaring Spotlight. I mean,
well, it's better than that, I guess. Yeah, definitely. Like them losing Hexproof and Shroud, and they can't gain Hexproof or Shroud. I guess for like if you don't know what it
Kills
is,
Geist.
Tap 1 colorless and then 1 colorless and tap it till end of turn. Creatures your opponents control lose Hexproof and Shroud and can't have Hexproof or Shroud. I feel like that
sounds like it's a good commander card, but
it's enough.
I don't think so. Like, I play it quite a bit, and this is one of the weirdest formats in the fact that like you're generally not afraid of the hexproof or the shroud creatures because there's so many wraths. Like everybody plays wraths, you're gonna run into Akroma's wrath, like Wrath of God, Damnation. Black Sun Zenith, there's so many, and everybody plays them because you get into those board states where you're like, if I don't have a wrath, I lose. Like, I'm going to lose. I can't answer all of this stuff, so I just have to reset, which is one of the things that turns people off to EDH is the fact that you build up this board state and then somebody just wraths it and then you go back to building it up, and then somebody just wrapped it. Yeah. So it is one of those weird formats where it's like, you know, if somebody played a Geist's Ancient Draft, I'm not really afraid of it because it deals 6 damage, but I have 40 life, and there's multiple opponents, so he's got to target it with, like, one person, and eventually somebody's going to cast a wrath, yeah. And mm-hmm. it's going to be gone. So
it's a dud. Sounds like a dud then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it has, like, it's not like something that EDH needed. It's not something that was like, oh, you know, these shroud or
maybe it's a plant. Maybe it's a plant for some retarded hexproof fucking shit that we haven't seen yet.
Maybe. I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense to me because I've right. played quite a bit of
or it's just one of those shit cards that, like, you know, they're like, oh, let's throw this in there. This would be fun.
Could be.
Oh, well, man. I think 2 years ago, people would be begging for them to print this card.
Yeah.
What's that?
That's when we had Invisible Stalker.
I think there are. There's always going to be people that want these cards that, you know, if you really look at it for what it's, you know, what format it's used for, it's not really that good. But there's tons and tons of creatures out there that I think are terrible in almost any format. And, you know, there's somebody that's their favorite creature. They absolutely love it, whether it's because of the flavor or the art or whatever. And there's people that absolutely fucking hate Shroud and Hexproof. Even in Commander, even though I don't think it's a problem, some people absolutely hate it. So this will be like an auto-include in people like that, for people like that, you know? Commander players, especially the ones that only play Commander, they're a different breed. Like, their cards, the way they evaluate cards, the way they look at cards, is much different than, say, somebody who I angle much more towards, you know, constructed playability when I evaluate a card.
Nah, that makes sense.
Here you go. You got the Storm Surge Kraken. It's got Hexproof there. That's why it's in there.
that's it.
That's why, right there. There you go, bro.
That's the answer to the Kraken.
That's your anti-heavy meta card.
So,
my answer to Kraken was always just to drink it.
Yeah.
So. Yep. That's right. Just drink it
so
down.
So we've got Jizz Goldmane. What is that? Goldmane.
Now, can somebody answer? There's a couple things in this that don't make sense to me, and it's probably because I don't know that much of, like, the lore, the history of Magic. But is this Johnny's brother?
Yes. At least that.
Okay. So this is.
Well, he's got a quote.
This is before he
died. Look, here's a quote from a Johnny. It says, "As my Ka, he is the source of my jizz. No, inspiration. As my brother, he is my embodiment of my war milk." So yeah, he is a Johnny's brother.
I mean, it helps that in the flavor text of Giselle Goldman that it literally says a Johnny's
brother.
Did you just say
Goldman?
There's another thing. I don't read flavor text.
He's a Jewish
text.
Jewish
read what the card does, and that's all I care about.
It's Jizz Goldman.
It's Jizz Goldman from here on out. And it's a white card, so it makes sense. The other thing that doesn't make sense to me is the fact that Obnoxilus is a planeswalker, because didn't he lose his spark before he became a planeswalker?
He made a deal with a demon, though. That's why.
I think he lost his spark. He might have been a planeswalker before he lost his spark, but.
Oh, okay. See, I thought that he never got the chance to be a planeswalker. Like, he lost it before he ever being a planeswalker.
But they're like, oh, whatever, this commander, this doesn't even fucking matter. We do what we want.
And to answer one of the Twitter hole questions while we're on the subject. Kevy, is Obnoxilus your father?
it's possible.
We don't know who Kevy's father is, so it's potential. That's the answer, apparently.
It's Cartman's mother.
Hey, he makes demons, so who knows, man?
I think Cartman's mom is the demon that Obnoxilus made a deal with, and that's what spawned Kevy.
What was it? For all those crazy Vorthas.
Well, you guys all know that, like, I fought my father already, and I'm still alive. I feel like fucking if I got in a fight with this dude at my wedding, I probably shouldn't have won. I probably didn't win. So, like, no, this dude's not my father.
You're like the Luke Skywalker of yelling about bad metal bands.
Nice.
Holy shit. Nice. Put that on a t-shirt. Kevy Metal, the Luke Skywalker of yelling about bad metal bands.
All right, well, I mean, so what do you guys think? What do you guys think, though, like, with these sets? Do you think you're excited for a Winter Commander release?
I don't just think I'm excited. I'm excited.
I can't.
I'm excited. I already pre-ordered one of each.
Oh.
So.
I'm probably going to end up doing that, too. It just there's too many cards in here that I want to put in the cube and play with for fun.
I mean, like, there's fun cards. There's We haven't seen the whole set. There's almost always a couple legacy playable cards that I like to get a hold of. So, like, I'm always excited
and
when
reprints.
These free cons yes. come out because with few exceptions, Wizards always sneaks a few really great inclusions in there. So.
Yeah, and
I can say that I'm probably not going to spend any money on this set because that money is going to go towards making
alcohol.
This bar. Well, yeah, alcohol. But making this bar / Wizard's Den a fucking reality. So... David
what
got,
are you talking
David
about?
Got
I was just in that place. It worked just fine.
I know. Yeah, it worked just fine for us to get
no,
drunk.
No, it's a great set because now you don't have to worry about anybody vomiting in there. It's not going to do anything.
Yeah, no, yeah, it isn't going to matter. Well, just go puke in the jacuzzi. It doesn't fucking
matter. Just go puke in the jacuzzi. It's okay. Just throw some bleach in there. It's all good, dude.
Well, what's odd though is like as I move next door, because like literally now I'm like instead of podcasting from the room that was going to be the magic room, that now this is going to be because it's close to the back door and I can smoke, and because we're gonna build a bar into it and it's not sharing a wall with my son, so we can be loud. Like as I'm getting into this, and I was like, all right, cool. Well, I'm gonna just start putting my shit out there and I'm gonna fucking podcast from here. But then like as we started the cast tonight, I'm kicking back and like, you know, David has seen this. There's a gigantic fucking window from here to my kitchen. And so as my wife is cooking dinner for my son, and I'm just all, what is up, you scrubby little nerve herders? I'm Kevin. She's looking at me like I'm fucking retarded because she can't hear the other side of the conversation, and she just sees me just all, yeah. Hey, rocking out, having a good time, but I'm talking to myself the whole time. It's very awkward. You know, I realize that like every fucking episode we've done, I'm sure my wife can hear me from the other room, but it's different when there's a giant cinematic window in front of me and she's staring at me while she's cooking dinner like, you are an idiot. So, yeah, this is going to be fun. I need to get curtains for that window real quick. So I'm going to buy curtains for that window before I buy one of these commander decks.
Goodness, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy on us. So that's basically the commander chat for this week, folks. We're gonna.
I would imagine next
what
week
the
we'll get to
fuck,
wrap
man.
It all up.
We just had how much time did we spend talking?
Way too long.
On this
way
cast.
Too long.
I mean, it's a give and a take. I say.
Okay. Okay. Well, we spent a bunch of. Well, basically, I'm gonna say we spent all that time talking about Cube.
That's what you're gonna say.
So. Well, I mean, that was all Cube conversation. I will not admit to the fact that there was any Commander conversation happening whatsoever.
Yeah, we got to move on to like more important shit. So we had Eternal Weekend this past week. Apparently, Slick Jagger was taking pictures and following people around wearing Heavy Meta shirts. So good job for you, Slick. It was pretty cool to see that stuff. So I was excited. I didn't have any chance to watch any of it though. Did any of you guys? I wasn't really that excited. I hate to say it, but I just didn't care.
I mean, Maddie, if we know anything about this cast, you have to start more sentences with, I'll be honest. And if it's going to be, I'll be honest, I didn't watch the coverage, then it is what it is.
I'm not trying to say it isn't. It's just not exciting.
You should definitely, let's go over the why. Okay. Why didn't you watch it?
Let's see. Wasn't there other shit going on? I think I was editing Heavy Meta now.
I have a life.
Actually, you know why I didn't watch it? I was listening to Heavy Metal 100. That's why I didn't watch it. No,
good answer.
That's
good
why
answer.
I think most people should have not or not watched it. That's why most people should. Have
I mean, the
it.
Whole the whole thing about the Eternal Weekend stuff is it just. I mean, geez, I get to watch Legacy every Sunday on SCG. So I don't know. I just the whole vintage format. It's very weird. Like I got into it on MTGO. But it's such a blisteringly punishing format if you don't know what you're doing and if you don't have like certain decks that are just very quickly all the excitement of playing with these cards kind of like is like, yeah, well, I lost on turn one again. And so that kind of like, I don't know, maybe I just don't have the love for the format yet. It just doesn't do anything for me.
I think you're speaking from a lot of people's experiences when you say that. I think that there's definitely a section of people out there that can get very excited about the idea of playing with power. And then once they get into the arena, they see how very different the format is from maybe expectations were or maybe the little bit of experience that those people had. And it can be quickly off-putting, especially when the price tag could be so high to do so. So,
I'll say this. I've never played with a Black Lotus or that stuff, but when I got to play with Power in Cube, that was fun as shit. And I know it's all about Cube, but that felt really good. You know, I got to draft it. I got to play with it. I didn't die immediately, you know. It was like a game with power. It felt awesome. And I don't know. I've tried. Listen, I have the cards on MTGO, too. Well, and that's the crazy thing.
The best part about playing with a fucking Black Lotus or fucking a couple Moxes in Cube is that, like, either they're somebody else's and you didn't have to pay for them, or they're proxies and you didn't have to pay for them. Because, oh, man, I feel like if I ever got into playing a format like that, I'd never be able to do anything else. I'd be like, I have to get my money's worth out of this shit. I'd be goldfishing my deck constantly. Like, I'd call in sick to work to just goldfish my deck and be like, fuck, man, I got to get my value out of this thing.
Yeah, but as far as watching it, like, that's the weird thing. Like, I don't know. I just, I don't even, I don't know what it is. It's weird. It should be this premier super format that like, this is it, and it just didn't feel like it. I don't know why.
I can understand where you're coming from, because if you don't know the format at all, then you don't know what people are setting up for. Yeah. You don't know what their game plan is. You don't know, especially when you see a lot of other cards in Magic and you think you know what those cards are going to do. You see a Snapcaster Mage and you're like, oh, I see that card played in Modern. I see that card played in Legacy. I know what people are going to do with that card. And then people are discarding it willy-nilly because they doesn't interact with their Yawgmoth's Will. They're going to cast on the turn they go off, or they just use it as an Ambush Viper to chump block a Dark Confidant that was really important. And you're like, why are these things happening? Not to mention, you don't necessarily know how the win conditions of decks work. I mean, I was actually kind of happy that there wasn't a Burning Oath deck in Top 8 this time, because I think it's the most convoluted, annoying deck in Vintage, as much as I enjoy regular Oath decks. But I can definitely see where that hurts viewership for an event like this. And again, on top of that, compounded with the fact that Legacy is so pedestrian almost at this point. I mean, there was a time in Magic where an event covering a weekend of just Legacy and Vintage was a big deal. And now, between the fact that Star City has really wrung the towel on the Legacy format, and Vintage is kind of online and kind of dead at the same time and kind of looking for new life and having difficulty finding it, it can be difficult to find that audience. And I watched a little bit on Sunday myself, but I didn't tune in for any of the Legacy for the reasons I was mentioning prior.
Yeah. I mean, what about you, David?
See, I don't know. I still think I'm.
I personally like standard. I'm up on the fence. Like, I originally just fucking hated Vintage. I mean, Vintage is like, I mean, exactly what it sounds like. You know, like it's for the people that have been playing forever. They know all the cards. They've either had them from the beginning, or they're just rich as fuck and can just drop $25,000 on just buying Power 9 to play. You know. In Vintage, I would be interested to play it just to see, you know, like I'm just now dipping my toes into Legacy. Like I have a few Legacy decks now, but even where I live, there's not enough people to get a regular, you know, set like a regular tournament going. And so when you talk about Vintage, then, you know, there's nobody here that has a Vintage deck. And, you know, I'm of the mind, too, where, like, what you were talking about, like, I don't want to lose on turn one or two. Like, you know, I played a land, and then they go off, and you're just like, well, I didn't have a Force of Will, so I guess I eat a dick.
Yeah, like, of all the
that's the format of Swords to Plowshares, eat a dick, but it, instead, it's like Force of Will, eat a dick, or Ancestral Recall into Force of Will, or Mana Drain. You know, absurd shit happens, which at the same time, if you're the one doing it, like you're like, holy shit, I can't believe I get to do all these things. But then you look across at the other person and they're just going like, I really wish I had an ice pick to take to my temple. Like it just doesn't seem like a fun format. And then on top of that, what TSG was saying, like it's existent on MTGO because they had Vintage Masters and, you know, access to those cards. But at the same time, it's not really a tournament supported, you know, format.
Exactly.
And in paper, like this is like a Vintage Masters weekend. It's like the one weekend of the year where all the Vintage players get together and go like, oh, you got Power 9 too? Like they're part of this elite club that, and everyone else is like, well, you know, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
So I'm personally not a fan of Vintage. I don't ever think that it will be a tournament staple. I don't ever think that you'll see, like, there's never going to be a Pro Tour that's Vintage. There's never going to be a regular tournament outside of like a once a year for this format, and so it's not worth getting involved in. So I don't watch it, I don't like study it, you know, like Legacy, when I started learning Legacy and I was going to do the Invitational, I was like, I need to learn this format so I understand the basics of what these decks are trying to do, what the linchpin of the deck is, so that way when somebody is going off with Storm or something else, like, I know where and when I should be interacting with them and what I should be letting go. And with Vintage, it's like, I'm not going to invest that amount of time and that brain power into it because it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a goldfish format.
I've watched a couple of LSVs, like Vintage videos, and it's cool. It's fun. It's, you know, it's interesting to see the interactions and what, you know, the things that he, you know, he's trying to do and the absurdity that can happen just off of a top deck. But outside of just a little bit of entertainment value, I'm not.
Well, yeah, I was
just
saying, would you say it's basically just like a fucking novelty, like at this point?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
For me, it is. And I think for most players, it is.
And I also think that in a way, it's like a way for those people that own those cards to justify owning those cards. Whether they're a collector or, like you said, somebody that has a butt ton of money that could go out and buy them. But, like, I mean, why buy those cards if there's no place you can use them? So it's like,
well, yeah,
all right.
I mean, I understand people wanting to play it and people that enjoy it. I mean, there's people out of there, they're vintage nuts, and that's fine. Uh-huh. A lot of these people have these crazy
Revised
cards
Angels,
because they've been playing since Magic came out, and they still have them, which is mm-hmm. great. You know, they held on to it. They got their value. And I'm sure that the format's really fun, but unless you're one of those lucky few that already had the cards, or you're one of those lucky few that have the money to just throw at those cards, you know, you're from the outside looking in, and it's just not worth getting involved in for me. Now, if they start doing these tournaments where it's like they'll allow a certain number of proxies to where, you know, if you can proxy up like half of the Power 9 or whatever, because there's certain decks that don't run them. But, you know, there's certain decks that don't run some of the power or all of the moxes or whatever else. So if you allow a number of proxies, you can have like a Vintage FNM and, you know, everybody can proxy five cards and
see what happens. That just feels like it's a slippery slope.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that's the only way you're going to get like more than these elite few to play this format. So to me, it doesn't have any value.
Maybe it's an online format only now.
Like, Wizards can't sanction that. Like, no matter what, Wizards is never going to sanction anything that involves proxies. Like, some stores will do that. So, like, you know, in other areas, you know, that have, I guess, the following for it. You know, they'll do, like, you know, fucking, 10 proxy fucking tournaments or 5 proxy tournaments where you can have those proxies in there. But, like, you can't do it at FNM because Wizards won't sanction it. So, like, yeah, you're kind of at a dead end there, you know, like...
Yeah, but I mean, you can have like, you know, local tournaments and stuff. Like, I've already had requests for once Maelstrom Games is open to have like Legacy tournaments and allow a certain number of proxies because we're at a limited community. Like, I personally can field 2 or 3 Legacy decks, but, you know, most of these people that, you know, want to play the format, they want to.
It's community dependent, right? Like, you've got to service your local community, and like shit, if you're in a limited environment. And, you know, if you're in a desert town, you do what you got to do, right, to play Magic.
But then, like, what are the ramifications of that? Like,
I don't think there's any.
Like, okay, so Maelstrom. Well, no, I'm saying, like, Maelstrom Games is just, like, all sweet. You know, we're going to have a, you know, like, Legacy tournament. It's one thing if, I guess it's prize dependent, too. But if it's like, hey, we're going to have Legacy tournaments, and you can have this, you know, fucking X amount of proxies in it, and you get to win something fucking cool. Because, like, from what I understand, most of the time if you do fucking, like, Vintage tournaments, like, the prizes usually kind of coincide with fucking Vintage. You know, it's like, oh, you get a Lion's Eye Diamond is the fucking top prize, whatever. So, like, how long is it before, like, you know, people from, like, the Lancaster Palmdale area or fucking Bakersfield or whatever,
well,
like,
you
start
want catching
that, and then they start
you want
fucking
that. Like, I'm already actually thinking of doing a Legacy tournament. No proxies, just an actual Legacy tournament. I have a couple of, you know, really sought after cards, like, you know, a foil Bob and you know, fetches and things like that to put on as prizes to try and draw in, you know, Victorville or Lancaster or whatever else, tournament.
That's definitely good for the store, like in an area like this, but like at what point is it just like not fostering a community that can't play? I guess you did say also like a non-proxy Vintage tournament. So that's
here's the thing, right? You look at it like this. If a store is giving their space that they make money on to something that they're losing money on, very quickly they're going to stop doing that. So, you know, when you do vintage things, guys coming in with, you know, if they own all the cards, then they're not really buying cards, right? Like, it's a weird thing. That's why, like I've said, vintage, they've released it online because I think that's an online format. It's just, I don't know, I just don't see it for that one.
Cons did have implications on the vintage format. To be fair.
It did. I mean,
And that's not always something you can say of every set.
No, it's actually.
Well, is that maybe something that they're trying to do to breathe life into the format?
Oh, they don't really test vintage. Let me rephrase that. They don't test vintage at all. but it's more of a question of.
Well, let's talk quickly about two cards. Here, hold on, guys, because we have to touch on this because we haven't done this yet, and I've been hearing a ton of buzz from a lot of people about two cards: Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time. And they feel that those two cards are now the number one and two most powerful cards in Modern. Some people are saying they're in the top five in Legacy. What? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Is that crazy?
It's
no, I don't think so. I mean, in Modern, and especially in Legacy, you know, Treasure Cruise is essentially Ancestral Recall past a number of turns. So anytime you're talking about a card with the power level of Power 9, like, obviously it's going to be a format staple. And now, you know, there's so many more fetch lands out there for people abusing and playing with it. You know, I just thought about it, you know, in, like, a burn deck, even in Modern, you know, you're playing, is it Lava Spike, the one where you have to sacrifice a mountain? Shard Volley. Yeah, Shard Volley. You know, that throws two cards into your graveyard for Treasure Cruise for one mana. And, you know, obviously you're not going to do that on turn one, but, like, you know, turn one, you know.
Well, no, it brings up, like, I've been talking about this recently because, like, Shard Volley was always one of those cards in my burn deck that was on the fence. It was always there because it's fucking three damage for one fucking mana, which is what it needs, like, what my deck needs to have. But, you know, there was that downside, and it's like, you know, I don't play a lot of lands in my deck. So, like, it was always one of those, it was on the fence, like, you know, if I had to cut anything, it was gonna be, like, a couple copies of Shard Volley, and now it's just fuel for the fucking fire.
Exactly, yeah. It
changed that card to, like, now it's definitely four of, no matter what.
With Treasure Cruise, like, any deck that can fill their graveyard up efficiently and quickly, like, Treasure Cruise is broken. It is absurd. I think it is actually a bannable card.
Well, you know, it's Legacy. What's funny is Sam Black. Sam Black puts an article brewing for Modern, right? So check it out. So Sam Black this week has an article brewing for Modern, and he basically just puts Treasure Cruise in every deck. And it's just like, well, when you could splash it for one blue, why the fuck not? Like, how easy is it to put?
Exactly. That's how powerful of the
I'll
card
just
is.
Put one blue fucking Shockland in my deck, and why not?
I put two Dig Through Times in my Sneak and Show deck because that's the only time where it, in my opinion, it's better than Treasure Cruise is the fact that, one, you're already a blue-based deck, so the double blue is not an issue.
Isn't an option, right? Isn't a downside.
You're looking for a specific piece of your combo.
Yep.
You know, like, say you got the sneak attack in hand, you just are missing, you know, a Gristlebrand or a Emrakul. So in combo decks, Dig Through Time is much better, in my opinion. But other than that, Treasure Cruise, I mean, it's way too powerful.
It's stupid.
I agree. The fact that Sam Black said, hey, you could put Treasure Cruise in a Zoo deck. What the fuck? Like, that's crazy talk.
Yeah. Now, okay. Now here's my crazy moral question. So, David, do I give Josh that foil Treasure Cruise back, or do I just accept the gift that he gave
me? It depends. Do you like him?
Do you like
him? Yeah. He's like my best friend.
Give him it back. Like, that. What's that card up to now? Like, 80 bucks?
What? It's 25 bucks, foil.
No. English foils are like 17.
I don't know. Like,
at most, it's like 25 foil. But
I would say rather than give that back to him, I would say give him a number of cards that's equivalent to the value to get him started.
No, I gave him that, like, that white fucking, like, my fuck yo couch fucking mono white deck.
Well, then, yeah, that's fine. Like, I think that he's just probably returning the favor. So go ahead and keep it and you know.
It's gonna go in the cube, and it's gonna go in the cube until it reaches fucking ridiculous amounts of money, and then I'm going to sell that for lots of other cubes.
No, you sell it. You give it to me, then I'll put it in my cube.
I'll put it in my cube.
Someone,
I heard your cube is already pretty enough.
Like I had David and Josh come over. Was it Friday night? To play some Booze Cube, and Josh shows up. He's like, "I brought you a fucking present." I'm like, "Oh, rad!" Huh? Like David showed up with presents too. I got presents that night. It's fucking sweet. But so like,
and I didn't
David
even get a hand job out of it.
David shows up with his fucking signed fucking Vexing Devil print that he swore he was gonna burn but didn't. And the fucking was it Rattleclaw Mystic? Is it Rattleclaw or Runeclaw Mystic? Fucking
I think it's Rattleclaw Mystic. Playmat by the artist.
Signed by the artist. I was like, fucking sweet. Josh shows up. He's just all here. Here's a play set of treasure cruises that I got out of my fucking box that I bought. We spoke about this box fucking last episode. The super box that he got. Because apparently he got a foil treasure cruise in it, too. on top of the other shit I told you guys about. He just didn't know it was that good. And so he brought me over a play set of treasure cruises, and one of them was foil. And so, yeah, I'm totally keeping that and putting it in my fucking cube.
Yeah, boom. If you gave him a deck. You know, just outright. That's worth more than the $17 to $20 that the foil treasure cruise is.
Let's get back to this. Let's close up on this whole vintage thing. They gave out prizes, and I'd mistweeted, which I mistweet all the fucking time. People can't stand it. But yeah, that's what we do.
I'm twittarded, so no judgment here.
I saw the Mox Pearl, and it's this brand new art, and it looks like absurdly gorgeous, and it was a close-up, so it looked like a card. And I was like, are you shitting me? They're brand new art for Mox Pearl, but it's not. It's just a big print, which is such a fucking tease. Like, come on, man. Print the damn power, guys. But as far as the prizes go, I don't know. Again, I don't know what it is. It's just not
What prizes are we talking about? Did we get that far off track that I don't even realize
for
what
Eternal
Weekend.
We went back to the Eternal Weekend prizes. Oh, yeah, Eternal Weekend. I didn't even pay attention to it.
There's a very unique first place prize for the Legacy and Vintage Champion that's not really replicated in any other event over the courses of the year. So it's kind of cool, I guess, but also kind of confusing where, you know, you get trophy and a cash when you win a Grand Prix. You get a giant novelty check when you win a Pro Tour and a trophy. Like, you get all these things, so you go to Eternal Weekend, and you get brand new artwork, very oversized
cards.
Painting of Gaia's Cradle, and you're like,
is that
cool?
Worth anything? I don't know.
Yeah. You're like, so I had to, like, buy, or I had to have, like, these ridiculous expensive cards to win this format, or, you know, to be able to fucking play this format, and then I won, and now I get a fucking shitbag fucking different art fucking painting. Like, ah, man, give them something.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's not a bad prize, and I know that there are people at the event, definitely art collectors, connoisseurs, that have made generous offers on those art pieces in years past. I can't correlate between them, but I know that different pieces have sold in the $5,000 to $8,000 range without leaving the hall.
Oof.
So it can be better than winning a Grand Prix in that respect, I guess. But it's just such a different prize, and I don't know who out there is super like, I'm taking that Mox Pearl artwork home, and I'm showing that to my family forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's not even the original artwork, right? It's just like a print. So
would you? I guess
it's just a poster. So imagine like a ripoff
so much,
is that?
So much artwork nowadays is digital original.
You're right. I don't know. I mean, at least print it out like Tyrese Nelson or.
Maddie gets so excited about so many things. Being lukewarm about this is really the equivalent of like,
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't want to keep even going on about it because I feel like no one gives a fuck about it. It's just like, meh.
I think talking about it on the show is going to inform a lot of people exactly what those people actually won. I don't think a lot of people even realize what the winner of Eternal Weekend Vintage Champion takes home these days.
Well, it's garbage.
That's the thing I think that it boils down to is nobody cares. Yep. What they
make it, hey, like Wizards, you know what? Do something with it. But again, I guess they can't because like we don't want to because we can't sell cards of these formats. So they're just it's fan service, right? Like just make these guys happy. Okay, now you're done. Here's your oversized poster.
Good,
get the fuck out of here.
We're a pretty good cross section of Magic players here, sure. And if the overall you know, if the meeting of the minds on this situation is meh, if that's what we're leaving with, then I don't really think there's a whole lot going on for this kind of event in this weekend. And I'm the most invested, the most enthusiastic about it. And I only watched for a few hours on Sunday for matches, you know, going for top eight in vintage. I didn't, you know, stick glued to my, my computer to be able to see how the format broke down or anything. And I could care less about how one more legacy event is run.
So meh is our source of past years. Meh.
That's the final
there
answer.
You go. Now,
vintage
now, speaking
meh.
Of power, which, I mean, geez, I don't know. If you sell your power TSG to fix a fucking BMW, we got problems. Whoa.
Two separate instances. Now, again, as I've mentioned before on the show, I drive a lot. I travel a lot. I put way more miles on my car than I would have liked to, and I'm not really in a great spot to replace it personally. But my poor wife, who has been kind of going back and forth between ancient Toyota Camrys, has finally had another one of her cars break on her. And not being financially stable enough to do anything else, I think it's finally time to sell some power and get her a new car, because I have too many Magic cards and not enough working vehicles in my household. So.
I love these stories. So you sell your power. What kind of cash can you generate here? Can you buy her like a Ferrari?
Well, it's funny. I was talking to some of the Puka Trade guys and Marcel last week about this. You know, obviously people have opinions about what to do. You know, I was like, guys, real simple.
Sell it all, man. You can't just sell one piece.
I'm selling a set. I've actually already unloaded officially one piece and probably two pieces. But once it's all done, I'm just going to let her decide what she wants to do. And, you know, considering all the car trouble she's been through, she's probably going to want something newer, so she doesn't have to worry about every 6 months something breaking different, having to go back to the mechanic for something. And she deserves that, in my opinion. But
My wife would literally...
I've got a parcel...
Now, this being said, do you have multiple copies of some of the power?
Yeah, that also helps. And that is also one of the reasons...
that helps too.
And that is another reason why...
No, it's like, you don't need more than one of each as far as...
I don't feel sorry for you at all anymore.
In your cube.
I was like, oh, man, he's selling his only power from the cube. Now I hear, oh, yeah, I got multiple playsets. I'm like, well, fuck, I don't feel sorry now.
I mean, it breaks the heart. And
TSG is the literal rich asshole that
he's the guy from Eternal Weekend.
He doesn't have a lot of cash, but if he liquidated, you know, half of his cards, he would be fucking rich. So
don't feel bad
for him.
Effectively, what's happening to me now, and it's bad timing because I really wanted to wait until after the movie comes out, but I think a Magic movie is going to bring so many more people's attention to it, and again. To me, vintage is only on the upswing of popularity with the Vintage Super League going on right now online. Yeah. So it's not the greatest set of circumstances. But I need to do this for her. So
you're a good man. That's what you're.
I think
you're
the movie
the
might affect the prices a little bit, but I don't think the online league is, because the online. I think that's where vintage is moving, is just online. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, okay. I see a Magic movie and all of a sudden I want to drop 25K. No, come on, man.
No, it just brings more attention to people's eyes. It's like when that guy opened an Alpha Lotus on
yeah, his it's
little
like you know
YouTube
if somebody goes out and watches a Magic movie and they're a fucking millionaire, then they can drop.
Okay, good point.
So that is one of the few things that could actually influence the demand for these cards, other than the already existing collectors who are interested in them, is if you know, somebody who is better off, like, you know, when I got into Magic, I was financially pretty stable. So I started, you know, collecting at a pretty quick rate. Like, I far outpaced, you know, most of the people that I was playing Magic with as far as collections were concerned. Now, I don't have any of the power, but I have, you know, quite a few, you know, original duels and a lot of the iconic early cards to put in my cube, some of them foil, things like that. So, it really just depends on who you're gaining interest in. You know,
good
like
point.
You're a millionaire gets invested in Magic. Yeah, he doesn't care about dropping 25K to get the biggest and the baddest.
Put some one ads in the Saudi Times, man.
Right.
Yeah. There you go.
Get that oil money.
Dude, you know, the movie drives enough drives enough interest for, like, the movie does well enough kind of thing. You know, that's where you get fucking the guys that are buying stormtrooper armor to put in their house. like, you know, actual
you
from
don't
the
say
movie
anything bad
storm.
About that, okay? No.
And it's like, those are the kind of guys that'll be like, oh yeah, and then I'm gonna put my Black Lotus right next to it in a fucking glass case.
Exactly.
And, you know,
yeah.
It
you,
definitely.
If you get those rich people's interest, then they're gonna drop.
You know,
that
you
money.
Do. You just.
So mm-hmm. I think the movie has the ability to affect it, but I don't see those prices
yeah.
changing
maybe,
too
maybe
much.
Maybe
because...
theaters will start buying Power 9 to just display like your high end movie theaters. Just display.
Oh my god, that would be epic,
I doubt that
would be awesome.
Yeah, that's a towel and an elbow away from me taking.
I just don't see the prices changing that much, irregardless of it, because you know there's already demand for these cards, and regardless of more people getting interested in them, and that market value has stayed, you know, fairly stable. Because
then the
you know,
Chinese counterfeiters are going to come back.
Oh yeah, dude, the Chinese yeah. counterfeiters when the movie hits. Oh man, they are going to hit hard, dude.
So what's gonna be sweet is literally we're gonna be able to just do the 100 first episodes, the first 100 episodes all over again once the movie comes out. We're gonna go through the Chinese counterfeiter fucking scare. We'll go through the whole proxy talk that we have to have with people. Like we can just redo this whole first 100 episodes for the second. All right,
so then
you just have double.
Yeah,
we
just say see Heavy Meta episode X done next.
That's what I was talking about at the beginning of the cast. Like, I'm gonna start phoning it in.
All right. Well, let's talk about one of the big things that happened. I know a lot of Cheedy McCheedy. Well, okay. Let's first before we get into like people getting cheated. I want everybody to give a fucking round of applause. Fucking Alex, the asshole Bertoncini's gone. Yeah. Oh, damn. Fuck you, Bertoncini. I am so happy that fucker got out. Boom. Oh. Now, this is the weird thing. I looked at the list on Twitter. Someone had tweeted me. They're like, oh, check out this list of bans that Wizard had. And I scrolled for about 10 minutes. I was like blown away how many people are on that list. And I'm like, wow, I'm going to just stop doing this because this is making me feel...
So
they just
go through and outright start banning motherfuckers like crazy. They're just like everybody's getting them a machete and fucking.
I don't know if it's an annual thing that they just hid somewhere, but I've never seen this before. It's a long fucking list of people, man.
It's probably
it used to
just
be
a
lot more interesting
from
it used to
the
have
beginning.
The reason that the person was banned also listed, and those things were removed.
Oh, was it? I think it just says general something general now, but. But, wow, like, fuck people, man. Watch your opponents, and once you, I don't know.
Well, I mean, most of those people are not on there for cheating. They're on there for, you know, like, starting a fight or, you know, stealing or something
along
those lines. Yeah,
the most common reason you'll end up on that list is if you're a tournament organizer who misappropriates resources. Like, it used to be, they referred to it as, like, theft of tournament materials. Or right. or just falsifying tournament results. Those are in the olden days. Those were much more popular and reticent in terms
in
of
the
people.
Olden days.
Yeah, and so like that list that you're scrolling through is from like the beginning of.
I thought it was just this round of bans. Oh, okay.
No.
That's just a list of people who are banned from Magic from like you know the butt crack guy.
Okay, good.
There,
okay. Whew, okay. Well, I feel better then. But let's talk a bit about a friend of ours, Raymond Perez Jr., future pro, Ray future pro on Twitter. He's been on Brainstorm Brewery a few times.
I think he should be able to keep that fucking Twitter handle though, because he's like on the pro tour now, so he's not like he's just
Ray,
like
Ray Prezipro.
Ray
Prezipro.
Ray Prezipro. Yeah, maybe. But he.
Yeah, Ray Prezipro. Might cause like some issues, like you know, people might not like the rape reference there if it's just rape bro.
Oh man.
Quota
achieved, Kevy. Quota achieved. You just have to work rape into every fucking episode. All right. So, anyways, let's talk about
eating Portland and pissing the world off.
So he busted his ass. He's got 33 pro points, and he's one behind Jared Botcher. And apparently, a bunch of videos come out on SCG and a few other places that he's been cheating. He's been
That's
too Yeah, he's Peterson. Been pulling the old mulligan trick where as you shuffle, you pull a non-land card to the top of the library. And I linked a YouTube earlier this week into it, and I couldn't believe how easy it is to do. And if you're not paying attention to your opponent shuffling, it's really easy. They just have to do it 3-4 times, and you're mulliganing. Well,
like, this dude fucking, like...
Allegedly. I'm assuming.
Same, well, this same dude that I'm assuming, like, there hasn't been a bunch of these this week. This is the same video I saw, I would assume. But, like, what blew me away is the fact that, like, how casually he's just talking to his opponent and the judge while it's
well,
happening.
Well, it's distracting.
And, like,
right?
like it was no big Yeah, it, well, of course, I mean, like, you know, any fucking any magician is good at sleight of hand and misdirection. But
why is there a dick in my ass? You know, what the fuck happened?
What's going on here? But no, the fact that like he's sitting there, like, and you know, like I was listening to Brainstorm Brewery, and they're talking about it too. Is like that he's comfortable enough that he's doing this at a fucking
on camera,
you know, during a coverage,
but on camera. That's what's mind blowing.
On camera, judge over his shoulder. Like just sitting right there with him and his opponent fucking sitting right there with him too. And he's comfortable enough with it. And that's what really brought it up. I was just like, when I watched the video, I was like, okay, like, I mean, I could see what people are talking about, but I mean, that's not like, I don't know if that's enough to really damn him. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I
okay.
could, but the fact is that like, it was pretty damning. And the fact that he was comfortable enough doing it on camera with a judge over his shoulder and his opponent staring straight at him, like, It starts saying, like, all right, this motherfucker's been doing this all day or fucking all year as far as anybody's fucking concerned.
Well, I mean, you're talking about somebody who's been, like, consistently doing really well at these tournaments, which is possible, but it's highly unlikely. And then on top of that, you've got a lot of these people's opponents coming going, like, I had to mull down to 5, like, both games, blah, blah,
right.
blah. So it's not just the video. It's also the amount of people
It's the
coming.
Evidence.
Coming out afterwards going, yeah, this, you know, exactly. I had to do that. I didn't notice that he was doing this, but something was fishy because I had to mulligan down to 4 or 5 every single game. So,
right.
you know, it's a mixture of things, but I think it's fairly clear from, you know, from what I've seen and heard that there's a lot of shady shuffling
well,
going on
like,
between
like,
people.
But what it really comes down to is, like, just like in a fucking court of law, that's all circumstantial evidence, but there was enough of it that
oh,
piled
but
up that...
it's not circumstantial. There's video evidence.
No.
Like, you can watch
well,
the video.
Video evidence of it looking, you know, like he's shuffling wrong, but I mean, still...
No. You, if you break it down, if you watch it slowly,
yes.
he's very clearly shuffling to put a certain cards to the top
and
of the deck.
And the evidence is his opponent mulligans. You could see what he drew.
Like... down to well what I was getting at is what it comes down to is like didn't he just like came out on Facebook and said all right you guys fucking
no that
win.
Was Bert
I fucked oh is that was are you sure that
I don't
was
know was it
I just dude that like he came out like it was posted all over fucking everywhere like his Facebook post where he's just like you know I'm human and I fucking I you know no you've never fucking succumbed to fucking
well if that was
temptation.
Him then that's an admission of guilt so then
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it's
so I guess the issue
guilt.
Is then Wizards.
He was trying to sell his collection in that post. He's just like, Magic collection for sale.
Well, okay, so I guess the issue then is that Wizards doesn't want to give Ray Future, who's the next in line, they don't want to just give him the crown and the title and everything. They want to give it to the next eligible person, which would be some other guy, which.
Pro points at large. The next player with pro points at large. And the reason this is coming up, and the reason I think it's a bit of a gray area, is that they wouldn't necessarily be stripping anyone of a title. And it wouldn't be about naming a new Rookie of the Year for events that they can confirm happened after the end of that pro tour or after that pro points year. So instead of stripping him of a title and taking away Rookie of the Year from him, they would just be banning that player after they already, you know, in theory received that award,
right.
you know, et cetera, et cetera, and then they just move it on to somebody else. So the Rookie of the Year was just banned. It's not that he doesn't have that title. Now, again, I cannot confirm from this conversation that that is what's happening, but I'm assuming the only reason you would not have that player replaced by a new Rookie of the Year was if the Rookie of the Year title was
it
not
just
being
it just makes no sense to me because you're then just rewarded a cheater like
Either you're rewarding a cheater or you're just punishing everybody by what TSG's saying.
I don't think you're rewarding a cheater. He's banned. He cannot play any
He's still the rookie of the year.
Well, he's banned, but I mean, at the least, you are punishing all the other rookies.
Look, dude, if a gold medal winner runs the 100 meters and tests positive for steroids or anything, they give his fucking gold medal to the guy who got silver.
At the event.
It doesn't matter at the event.
That's if it happens at the Olympics, yes. Do they do it to somebody that it took place 4 months after they were given the gold medal?
Yeah, they can. Absolutely.
Yeah, they'll strip them of the medals and change the record books to show.
So, it feels like to me, it's a weird situation, and maybe the rules need to be redone a bit here, but it feels like
it doesn't seem like the most difficult thing
it's
to
simple.
Say.
Like you,
the next person that in line has no evidence of cheating.
Boom.
So they are de facto rookie of the year since the person in front of them was banned and is no longer a player whatsoever.
And the fact that he cheated to get rookie of the year,
Well, and that's why you're getting banned. Like you can't justify his profile.
That's where it gets weird though. That's another thing. That's another thing too, where it gets weird is there's no definitive way to prove. And again, they talked about this on Brainstorm Brewery, in a different context when they were talking about the that dude fucking winning, and his winnings are going to charity as opposed to the rest of the people in the top eight or the person below him because he cheated to get there. But there's no real definitive way to prove that person, fucking dick nuts didn't fucking cheat or didn't exist in the first place since he's banned and he's gone now. There's no definitive way to prove that fucking, this next person would be the next rookie of the year because
that's easy enough. They have definitive ways to calculate that. Now, as far as the tournament he was involved in, that way I understand because there's no way to prove that. Okay, well, if he wasn't cheating, this person would have won the tournament because it changes everything past that. Because if he would have lost in the first round, the whole top eight is different. Well,
I hate to play devil's advocate, but if banned dick nuts didn't exist and wasn't playing because he's out of this fucking equation, would Ray have been able to accumulate
the
fucking
David
pro
just
points?
Said. It changes.
No. He's talking about it in reference to the pro points and the whole rookie of the year. Now, if they were all playing in all of the same events and everything else, then I guess you could question whether Ray would have that many pro points and maybe it affected a tournament or two. But it's not nearly on the same level as the tournament. And, them taking his winnings and giving that to charity. I totally understand that. Nobody really came up and said, "Oh, this is BS. I should have gotten those winnings." But as far as the calculating who's the rookie of the year, cut him out and assign it to the next available, the next best.
Exactly. To not have a rookie of the year is just stupid.
So that I just don't understand. Now, as far as the tournament, yes, that is completely impossible to go back and say this person would have won this tournament had he not been cheating. So the way they handled that, I think, is fine.
Variables there.
To just completely cut out the rookie of the year and just not have a rookie of the year. I think it is miserable to punish everybody for one person's
100%
fault.
Agreed with that. Now, do you think
it's miserable to punish Ray, to punish one person because the guy was going outside the rules. The guy was going outside the rules and cheating. It's ridiculous to punish Ray, let alone everybody else. The guy in fucking third place. I don't even know who the fucking guy in third place is. But to be able to be oh man, I was in second place. I was right behind fucking Ray is something that guy could fucking hold on to and fucking say, second instead of third is a big fucking deal. Especially when you're grinding that fucking hard to do this. So I think that getting rid of the player of the year is terrible.
Now,
I think it should just go to the next, and I don't know Ray, I've never interacted with him, whatsoever. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that he's a friends with
Brainstorm
Brainstorm Brewery or anything like that.
Exactly.
If he wasn't in second place and it was somebody I don't even stand. I personally, after my interaction, I don't like David Ochoa. But say he was second place, whatever.
Yeah,
give it to
I
him.
Agree.
He's the next best replacement. Give him the rookie of the year. He deserves it. It's just I don't understand why they wouldn't do that. Why they would just completely say, well, the person who was the front runner got banned, so now there's no rookie of the year. Like, that just doesn't
make sense.
So
do you think it's up to us? Like, because I feel like the community
I feel
is
like maybe we should...
going hardcore
hey,
after this.
Maddie,
well, they should, and I think that's the only way you're going to change it. Because if nobody bitches, Maddie. Wizards is just going to do what they want to
do. Yes,
We've done okay. this before, but Maddie, what like, okay, so we take the rookie yes. of the year movie poster, okay. and we put Ray Future Pro's head on it, and we just change all our avatars to that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's weird. I kind of agree with you. Like, I know a lot of people say, look at the community. It's the SVU or whoever it is. They're jumping on this bandwagon blindly. No, I don't think it is. I think we're pointing out something.
No, I don't think anybody ever really says that about the fact. So people might say some shit about the SVU, like, yes, they're militant fucking jihadist motherfuckers. But
it's not just us. Like, it's not just the SVU. It's not just, like, the Brainstorm Brewery fans.
Oh,
and
yeah,
other
there's
people.
Some high-level
and
pros.
People contact, you know, Wizards of the Coast and say, hey, this is BS, you know.
It's fucked
there
up.
There deserves
again,
to be
like,
a rookie of the year. There, you know, this person deserves to be.
I want it to be known this isn't because, like, the reason we're bringing this up is because, you
it's
know,
unjust.
Ray is a friend of Brainstorm Brewery. And, like, yes, honestly, though, the reason that it's probably being brought up on our show on Brainstorm Brewery is because this hits closer to home. But, like, there's no changing that. Like David said, you know, if it were fucking Ochoa and he doesn't fucking like Ochoa, like that doesn't matter. Like, you know, maybe if that were the case, it may not have been brought to our attention like this. But the fact is, it's like an injustice being done and it's fucked up. And
yeah,
you know, something needs
so
to be
Helen,
said about
do
it.
The right thing, man. Because like if I was a rookie or even if I was like a guy who's like, I'm going to make a run for it. I'd be like, why the fuck do I do this now? Like, what if a guy cheats and I'm fucked and I wasted my time?
Yeah, no, I get that too. Is that
fuck, like, man? The amount of effort.
I think part of the big problem here is this is a byproduct of when the World Tournament is run, because the Pro Tour, you know, point season ended months ago, and so normally events that happen much more recently now that we're looking at. I this whole thing boils down to, is he being stripped of the title or not? Yeah. If he's being banned but keeping the title as the Rookie of the Year from the previous year, previous calendar year, which looks to be the case, then it makes sense to me. If it isn't, and there
I,
is no Rookie
I,
of the
I think, like, I agree with you, TSG. Like, I understand what you're saying. Like, you know, this is from 4 months ago, but this calls into question. It's just
it takes
like,
time
you know,
to
say,
put a case together, you know?
Like with the MLB situation, like with you know, any of the guys like what the hell are their names?
Canseco.
I'm starting to get drunk.
Player.
Well, not Canseco, like, but too. Yeah, Canseco's the one. But like
McGuire,
yeah, Barry Bonds, the
Sammy Sosa.
Yeah, McGuire. That's the one I was looking for. Sammy Sosa. Those guys, they're never gonna make it into the Hall of Fame because their records are tainted. Like, whether you can prove that they were juicing for every single one of those home runs, it doesn't matter because they did juice. And so now you look at their record and you go, like, it's tainted. It doesn't mean anything. It's not pure. It's not what we thought it was. So they're never going to be honored in the same way as, you know, like Babe Ruth, you know, people that did it pre, you know, steroids
pre-juice.
And, you know, clean and
yeah, but
you know,
Wizard, okay, but I got to say this. Person. Wizards has a history of forgiving cheaters. Like, we all know this. They're gonna,
yeah,
like,
but I
okay,
think
so Jared Botcher
this,
comes back and says, I'm a good guy now, and starts doing it again. Like, I don't know. Like, it feels, it just feels to me like, if you cheat, you're fucking banned. Out. Get the fuck out.
I think it should be. And I think that they're obviously taking a stronger stance, towards that, with this round of actions. But I just feel like with the Rookie of the Year, that it should be, you know, much more fair to the people that were in the running for it as well. You know, I understand TSG's point, and I can see where Wizards is just like, you know, it's way too far back. It's already been done. We're just going to strip the title, and that's the most we can do. But I don't agree with it. I think that they should, you know, make
a
command
decision. I honestly feel like, you know, you enter, like, every one of these tournaments, every one of these sanctioned matches under a fucking – a set of rules, a set of stipulations, whether it's fucking blatantly obvious to the judges, like, you know, oh, I drew 8 cards for my opening hand, or if it's fucking I'm shuffling weird and I'm cheating like a motherfucker, like, there's a set of rules to Magic, and if you don't follow those, and especially if you're caught fucking cheating and like, evading those rules, then I feel like nothing that you've done counts, whether it was 4 months ago, whether it was fucking 3 years ago. Fucking, you know, Brian Kibler gets caught, like, you know, it's fucking off the wall, but Brian Kibler gets caught fucking shuffling weird or fucking cheating. Like, Brian Kibler's not in the fucking Hall of Fame anymore. He's a pile of shit. He fucking, you know, he's cheating at Magic. Like, it's hard enough to fucking lose to variance. Like, you know, in a tournament, like, you bust your ass all fucking weekend, or these grinders that are busting their ass every fucking weekend, and sometimes the cards just don't fucking fall right. So when somebody out there is fucking evading the rules and fucking cheating, then as far as, like, I'm concerned, like, you're breaking the rules of fucking Magic. Nothing you've done fucking counts. Nothing you've done whatsoever should matter whatsoever. You know, fuck that guy. Don't fucking give him the title and 4 months ago, you know, well, he got this title 4 months ago before he was fucking accused of cheating. Well, fuck, as far as I'm concerned, that motherfucker's been cheating since he was playing at the kitchen table. And fuck him, he's done. And then the next guy in line gets the fucking
prize. I think
prize.
They just need to put a timeline that says, you know, once a season is over, there's a 6-week window, or put an actual window on it when you have an argument or your grievance or, you know, I don't know, whatever it is. And then at least we knew. So, I don't know. I mean, tough call for Ray if it goes his way or not, but just sad. Hey, sad in general.
Ray, you're the rookie of the year as far as we're concerned.
Ray, you're good in our books, man. Nah.
He's all, I don't give a shit about heavy meta. Really?
I mean, in all honesty, I've had interactions with cheaters in games, like, even at FNM level, man, and it's bullshit. Like, I can't stand that shit.
That's part of it. It's an inherent part of the game. Sadly, it's an inherent part of the game.
It,
like,
is.
You know, it's like, there's, you know, there can't be enough scrutiny on, like, you can't have a fucking judge at every FNM.
Well, it's not even judge, right? Over, because, like, you don't notice.
To stand over every player's Well, what I'm saying is, like, you can't have a judge standing over every player's shoulder at every FNM. And so, like, it's an inherent part of the game. Like, you, especially if there's an incentive there to win. Like, you know, if there's a prize on the line, there's going to be an incentive to win. There are going to be those people in the world that have honor that are not going to cheat whether they can or can't. I don't know how many times I've been in a situation in a fucking Magic game. You know, luckily it doesn't happen much online, which is where I play most of my Magic. It's real hard to fucking cheat online. It doesn't happen. But, like, you know, in a fucking card game, like, where there are instances where cheating would be available. I don't do that because I play this game to have fun. I'm not, like, trying to cheat. But, like, it's easy to do, and there's incentive there, especially when there's money on the line, to, you know, do whatever you possibly can. If you can come up with some sort of fucking solution in your head to gain knowledge, gain an advantage, there's
an incentive. Well, you know what? Look, this has been a depressing episode of Heavy Meta. Fucking Eternal Weekend is horrible. Cheating is wrecking Magic. We need to get in a fucking better groove. So, look, it is Halloween. It is witches and wizards and ghosts and ghouls out there right now. We need to get on that fucking train, folks.
How do we not have a fucking heavy metal Halloween costume?
I know. We fucked up again. Okay. Let's do it right now.
Let's do it.
Magic costume, what would you go as? Let's see who can win this.
Oh, well, this is a figurative one. No, I'm saying we post our Halloween costume.
Oh, well,
on
you're
Twitter,
gonna win that shit.
And then everybody else votes on who had the best costume.
I guess it isn't too late to do that. This shit's gonna come out on Friday. So
I mean, people are listening to this on Halloween.
All right, well, fine.
Yeah.
So they can vote on Halloween, and we can talk about it next Wednesday.
No, that's even better, because you don't have, like, premeditated knowledge. Like, oh, I want to win the heavy meta contest, so I'm gonna go out.
Exactly. We already have our costume selected. All right.
Yeah, I do.
Plus, we can share our favorites.
Or you have a very limited amount of time to go and grab it. Yep. So,
I have a few. I'm just going to say right off the bat, like, I'm sorry, sweetheart, but Sprankle, you're not allowed in this contest.
Yeah, you're banned.
No, this is between us four. I mean, I want other people to post theirs, too.
I thought we were going to have everybody do it, and I was going to say Sprankle being the premier cosplay.
No.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, no, that's just cheating. Like,
all right, so what do you... She can't
do be involved. Announce? Like, that's what she does for fun in the living.
Honorary mention, like, right now on the cast, like, Sprankle got the honorary mention for whatever.
All right, we'll do it this way. We'll do it between the hosts and then just in general. Right. Anybody that wants to join, we'll just put... you know, Heavy Meta SVU costume contest, you know, yes. Hashtag. And then like post your picture, and then, you know, the person with the most favorites or retweets, whatever we choose, then we'll give them a gift. I'll send them something. I don't care. I'll field the gift. I'll field the prize.
I fucking love this dude.
Do we announce what we're going as?
No, this is on Friday.
All right, done.
As everybody's listening to the cast, that's
spooky,
you know,
spooky.
Yeah, right, post your picture of your costume, and then next episode we'll announce who the winner is.
All right, I'm bringing it hardcore. Like, okay,
number one, we have to establish it. This shit has been a fucking problem for us in the past. Right, hashtag, I don't know, something like hostile. Costume or Kraken, Rum, Playmat, something like that. And then shit gets slips through the cracks. So we have to have an actual fucking, we'll go fucking Heavy Meta SVU, hashtag Heavy Meta SVU costume contest.
Done.
And that's a long
HMSVU costume contest.
HMS your picture. Costume contest. That is the official hashtag.
You make such long hashtags. All right, here's the question.
Then again, all you have to do is fucking post a picture and the hashtag.
Would,
that's it.
Would you ever F and M on Halloween? Fucking right, I would if I didn't have kids.
Yeah, no, I would if I didn't have kids, because my Halloween party starts after F and M would be done.
I want to go back to this costume fucking thing for a minute, because we can establish all this shit. So there's this contest that we're having, and David's going to send you something out for our fucking listeners. But there was also mention of a costume contest between the hosts. Now, what happens there?
We can do this one of two ways. We can do this as we can establish a prize, or we can do this as we can, you know, kind of like a bet.
All right.
Oh, king of the episode.
I don't care either way.
King of the episode. Boom. Fucking, okay, so the winner of the host costume contest, and we'll do this by, I guess we'll just do votes from the fucking, from our fans.
Votes
and
from the SVU.
The SVU will decide which host has the best fucking costume, and then that host, next episode, just has fucking king power. Just gets to do whatever they want to. They just say what they want to. They can interrupt anybody as they want to. And you basically
that's how
just
we run this podcast anyway.
I don't. What's new? That's not
what
a power.
What would be changing?
It's happening right now.
That's
we're
the
all
status quo.
I'll tell you that it's Wednesday night, and I work the next 2 days, so I don't really know where this costume power is going to come from.
Oh, dude. You're a genius motherfucker, TSG.
Thank you, but that's not dragging.
I'm going as the Perilous Vault.
I feel like fucking King Podcast is like, all we all interrupt each other, we have to for one episode agree that person is the king of the fucking podcast, and everybody has to shut up when they start talking.
All right, done.
What we've been doing for 101 episodes now is interrupting each other. And now somebody is going to have the power to be like, hey, shh! And then everybody has to.
If we all agree to it, but whoever wins, they have to, like, take advantage of that. Like, they have to be a tyrant.
I'm going
to just
have
to control the call and be able to mute people.
Ooh.
I'm going to light myself on fire for this fucking costume contest. Yo, baby, you better take a picture, because I'm going to be in the burn ward for a long time. Like, but I'm going to spend next week being all, shut the fuck up! I say what I want!
I still don't see how that's any different than a regular episode. But,
we need to come up
with
something
better. You know what? We're going to work on it.
Why don't we just establish that we're going to have a contest, and then not only do the SVU decide who wins the contest, we'll take suggestions on who gets
what the power is. There you go.
Yeah, what power
I love
it is.
All right, so obviously, like, I would love to play Magic on Halloween. I think that'd be so much fun. But, dude, I am the head of a princess pack. I'm taking out. I got six little girls that I'm taking out. Oh man, I got my two kids, and then they're just like, "Oh, we're bringing our friends." I'm like, "All right, sweet." And I, of course, like, I love telling them stories about like when I was a kid. So you know, I've told them the stories like.
I hope to God they're not like the
cinnamon vodka
story.
No, I told them the stories. I'm just like, hey, man, when I was a kid, it was how many pillowcases of candy can you bring? And it would be like, you fill up a pillowcase, you run home, dump it, and go out again. And so they're only like 6 and 8, so they've never actually done that much yet. And this year they're like, okay, we're gonna do it. Pillowcase done. And I'm like, okay, fine, I'll take you out as long as you guys want. And then like, now it's like 6 little girls. So I'm like, okay, you guys are seriously gonna do this. So I'm hyping them up. I'm just like, all right, man, we're going out. I don't want to hear no one bitch about how cold it is. I don't want to hear no one complaining that it's late and you're tired. You just eat more chocolate. And they're like, what if our bag gets too heavy? I'll fucking carry that bag, man. We are going to do this. First Halloween ever. Pillowcase full candy. So that's my Halloween, man. Scotty, I would love to come play it face-to-face, but my goal is to just get pillowcases of candy. That's my goal.
Tell me if I'm wrong, but like when I was a kid, I did the same thing. Like went out and tried to get as many pillowcases shoved full of candy as I could. And I would go to, like, the best neighborhoods and, you know, really plan that crap out. Because I was poor, I was stocking up on candy for the next few months.
Yes.
But my kids can't do the same thing because I went out by myself, like, or, you know, just with my friends. Like, I would never, ever let my kids do what I did as a kid. Like, I chaperone my kids, and there's no way that I would just let them do, like, you know, sprints to
just
different houses and everything
fucking,
else.
Yeah, like packing razor blades to cut the other kids' bottom of their candy bags.
What?
No, I don't know whether you guys realize this, but actually Raging Gumby is how it was generated on Halloween. That's how I got the nickname.
So it was a Raging Gummy Bears?
No. I was Gumby for Halloween.
Oh, and you were just fucking Hulk.
No. I was Gumby. Like, I was Gumby. I loved Gumby as a kid. I mean, I guess that kind of dates me, but, like, I absolutely loved Gumby. And so I was dressed up as Gumby, and I was going around, like, Kevy will know what I'm talking about, but, like, mm-hmm. Heritage Village.
Yep.
Like, it's a high-end little...
The high-end fancy community.
Yeah, community within Ridgecrest. And I was walking around with my Nana. She was taking me around trick-or-treating. Well, I was walking along the street, and this fucking kid in a vampire costume just, like, bolted by and grabbed my bag, thinking, I don't know, because I was smaller or, you know, like, in a big Gumby outfit, like, I wasn't going to be able to catch him. I bolted after this kid, tackled him, and just beat the shit out of him. And it was my Nana that coined the term, like, oh, you're just a little Raging Gumby. And it's like, that's how I got the nickname Raging Gumby.
I can see your Nana. Get him, David. Kick his ass.
David.
No, I mean, like, I was, she couldn't break us up because, you know, she was like 60 something at the time. And like, we were halfway down the street. So she's like, you know, walking towards me. She wasn't feeble by any means, but she wasn't going to be sprinting after like a 9-year-old. And I, you know, freaking ankle tackled this vampire and just beat the tar out of him. Took my candy, took his candy. And then, you know, it was later on when she was talking about it that she said I was a Raging Gumby. And then it just kind of stuck from there.
And it's been there since you were fucking nine.
Man, the most fucked up thing I on Halloween that I ever saw was, like, my little brother is like 13 years my younger. So like when he was really young, I would go out with him. And I remember we were walking down the street. I think my little brother was like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old. And I'm like, we're going to do like 20 houses. He's going to get tired, right? And we're going down the street. And I'm not shitting you. This kid in a full cow suit, like a cow, like a fucking cow. And this kid is like 13 years old and he's like fat. And I'm like, I'm looking at him. I'm like, you're all by yourself? I'm like, dude. And I'm like, hey man, you better watch out. And he's like, what? I'm like, dude, you are so asking to get beat. Like, this, I'm not angry at you, but I'm just like, I'm worried that you're gonna get killed. Like, dude, you gotta watch out. You can't, why are you wearing that? And he starts, yeah, that was good. He starts following me and my brother, right? And I'm like, oh man, we gotta get away from this guy. This guy's attracting the wrong kind of attention, right?
Pull the herd.
Fuck. Oh, dude. No, a carload of dudes, like, drive by, right? And you know, they drive by and then, like, 50 feet down the road, brake lights come on. And you're like, oh no. Reverse lights. Hey cow, hey fucking cow, and let's go tip him. And you're like, oh man, this is like 6 or 7 teenagers. And I'm like, how fast? And I literally, I'm like, dude, how fast can you run in that thing? And he's like, huh? Why am I going to run? I'm like, okay. And then these guys get out of the car. They're like, I think it's time for us to fucking have some steaks. Right? And I'm like, oh, dude, I can't talk you out of this situation, man.
David, we think we live in a shit little town.
So I'm like, dude, run, just run, run. And he starts running, and he must have ran, I don't know, 30 feet, and he gets tired, and he puts his hands on his, like, knees, right? He's, like, breathing heavy. And I'm like, all the teenagers, guys, they're like, woohoo, round him up, boys, you know? And they're like, let's get him. And I'm like, hey, guys, look, leave the kid alone. He's just a kid. And the one guy looks back
and
he's like,
dresses the hamburger, and he's just all listening.
No. I wasn't even dressed up, man. I was just with my brother. And I tell him, I'm like, guys, and he looks back at me and he's like, that's a fat kid in a cow suit. You're telling me not to go after him? I'm like, oh man, fuck this. I warned the fucking kid. I'm like, run, cow, run. And the car is going after him, and the kid is like trying to run. I'm like, duck in a side street, just get the fuck off the main road. Oh man.
Run, cow.
I'm like, run, Cam. Oh, dude. And my brother was like, what do you think happened to him? I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. This is why you dress as a ninja. You have weapons. Whatever you go as, have weapons.
I don't know. I dressed as a cow once.
Did you really?
No, like the
well, you're a Gumby. You're fucking crazy.
I mean, I was out with a bunch of friends. Like, it was just because I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, but you don't go as a lone cow.
No, I mean, if you're a cow, you run in a herd. Like, you know, you're breaking the laws right there. You're gonna get picked off if you do that. Yeah, I mean, granted, I was also in high school, so I wasn't like some little chubby, you know, 12-year-old in a cow suit.
He's got mad cow disease. He's all by himself.
Yo, I'm in high school, and I know how to grapple. Like, I'm good.
Really, all I can remember is, like, actually from the... Like, the only reason I remember wearing a cow suit is because, like, afterwards, like, we were at my friend's house, and, like, I remember I made my friend almost wet himself because somebody came into the room, and they're like, man, I'm so thirsty, I could lick the sweat off a cow's balls, and I was like, moo, moo, buckaroo, and he just, like, fell over laughing. Yeah, I guess it was funnier when you were there, and I was in a cow suit.
That was really unfunny. Yeah. Yeah.
So, somebody's got to knock David down a peg.
This one time, I was like, this guy. Oh, no. If you've got funny Halloween stories, though, people, we want to see them in 140 characters or less. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I think that's gave up cool. This. Like, hey, comment on the episode. Like, we're just like, whatever. Hit us up on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Comments just are dead. I don't know why no one comments anymore. But
that's why KYT has stopped paying attention to us. Did you catch this morning? Like,
he didn't even know we were on.
He's like, whoa, TSG, wouldn't Derp do up your avatar? He's just like, I'm assuming you're fucking with me. Otherwise, nobody talks to you. And I was just like, yeah, welcome to Heavy Meta. And I posted the picture with all four of us as Planeswalkers. He's like, oh, shit. It's crazy. Yeah, nobody talks to me.
Who's the Gollum?
Yeah, who's the Gollum?
Yeah.
I was like, that's fucking David.
I got a nice email from KYT. He's like, hey, man, thanks for letting me know that there's two more members on my network.
Hey, if he were listening to our podcast, he'd know. But he did make a statement at one point, like it was a couple episodes ago on the A-Team. He's just like, you know, I back everything that is on Mana Deprived. He's like, if they're fucking up, I'll let them know. And I haven't received an email that said we're fucking up yet. So I think we're good.
Yeah, he doesn't have your email address. Trust me. We get a lot of hate mail.
I know. I did that on just like, oh, man, as long as he – like at some point I feel like if we really, really just degenerate into fucking terrible, like I'm going to keep doing this podcast whether – KYT's aware of it, whether Maddie's aware of it, whether any of you are aware of it, I'm just going to keep doing this podcast. I'm going to keep telling my wife, hey, I got to go podcast. It's Wednesday. I'm just going to sit
heavy in the cave with the cricket.
Yeah, I'm just going to be hanging out with the cricket, fucking drinking my ass off, just talking to myself, just to keep up appearances, not because I'm a crazy person. So that as my wife will stop by and look through the cinematic window into the room, she's like, oh yeah, look, he's still podcasting. I'm like, yeah, that's right. God damn it. You sons of bitches. Oh, everybody's going to die. And yeah, I'm going to keep doing this podcast regardless.
You're going to be the old senile man just talking to himself.
At some point, this is going to devolve.
You remember, when we put Treasure Cruise? Oh, I don't know. I think they have drugs for that.
I see episode 200 with Kevy healthy in here. Like, we're going to need to do, like, a GoFundMe for him to have, like, you know, treatment so his liver survives.
Maybe we could just, zombify his liver.
I'm still using the same headset I was before because I had to buy this dialysis machine, but now it's part of my bar. I painted it black and red, and we're fucking sweet. We're golden. I painted a blue mana symbol on it just to make David happy.
Me happy. Screw you. That's your new color.
Yeah, you're the blue mage now. You're
I checked. I'm known for black, white, red. You're known for blue.
No, I am not known for blue. I'm just dabbling in some blue. I guarantee you every one of you have played more blue cards in a single match of Magic than I've played in my life. So.
I probably can't argue that.
Right now, maybe I agree with that. But soon, Kevin, you'll build up your repertoire.
You're going to surpass us.
Up cruises, I'm like, all right, I get it. Well, see, I get where you guys are coming from. Like, this might be addictive, but I see no end game in it because I still think the same way as far as Magic. I was like, I have to hit you in the face as many times as I possibly can. And so, like, you know, Treasure Cruise helps me. But, like, it doesn't mean I'm going to start playing blue. Because, like, where's the end game if I just start playing mono blue? I'm like, oh, sweet. I could sit here in Treasure Cruise all day long until I come up with some sweet, fucking win condition? That sounds lame to me. Like, I don't want to fucking mill you out of cards. I don't want to fucking draw as many cards as I possibly can until I find the one card in my deck that might make me win.
You know what? You know what card? You know what deck is perfect for you? Storm. You just keep drawing cards so you can grape shot someone to the face.
Storms just sounds complicated to me. I'd rather stick in my wheelhouse where I just get to. I'm like 3-3-3-3. I don't have to learn math. I have to. Know
Heavy's version of the deck, like what he's gone to now, is like it used to be. He was just sitting there and trying to find lightning bolts to throw at somebody. Now a boat just pulls up and drops off a load of lightning bolts, and he throws
them at people. A boat shows up and says, "Here's some more lightning bolts for you."
Just for the physical, visual of what his deck is doing. He's just grabbing like bolts of lightning and rocks and chucking them at his opponent, and now he just has a delivery boat.
Occasionally, some Asian broad shows up and just like bounces one off with her palm. And that's
why Treasure Cruise is like the perfectly named card, because it's going in everything, and that's all this boat is it just drops everything off that people are looking for. You're like, oh, you're mid-range deck? You're looking
what
for
you looking for?
Value creatures and removal? Here you go. Oh, you're a combo deck? You're looking for combo pieces and counter spells? Here you go. Oh, you're Kevy Metal? Here you go. Here's a bottle of Kraken and a lightning bolt. See you later. Like, that's what Treasure Cruise is just going in everything because it just does what everybody wants, just gives them what they want.
I get one of our fucking proxy people, like, you guys, I assume you guys are all fans of the Fifth Element. I hope so.
Of course.
Can we please just have, like, one of our proxy maker fucking friends just do, like, an alternate Treasure Cruise with the fucking old Chinese man in the fucking, the junk ship that shows up at his fucking door to deliver him lunch, and he's just all, oh, goodbye, see you later. Like, just be the fucking picture for Treasure Cruise. Because, I mean, it's basically the same fucking thing that's already there, but I just think that would be that much better.
I had not thought about that one before now.
Huh?
I had not thought about that one before now.
So is the new line now, Treasure Cruise, go eat a dick?
Yeah, that's for blue.
Well, see, what I'm thinking, Maddie, is like you have those like those shows and stuff, and like I hate to bring them up and give them any sort of credibility, but like fucking Money Draft.
You had to ruin the episode.
TV shows right that say there. Like the one with this or the one with that is the name of the episode, like the one that does this, the one that does that. Can we just do like for every episode from here on out, from episode 101 to episode 200, can it just instead of being like the one with this, the one with Raging Gumby, the one with Treasure Cruise, can it just be like Treasure Cruise, eat a dick, and then the next episode will be Lightning Bolt, eat a dick, and the next one will be Swords of Plowshares, eat a dick, whatever card we're talking about, or maybe a card we didn't talk about at all. Do you think
those might start getting confusing for people, I would imagine.
Veto.
God.
Like,
you know. Hey, remember the first 100 episodes when Heavy Metal was original? Yeah, the next 100 were kind of shitty.
They kept kind of inadvertently telling me to fuck off every time I clicked on their podcast. It was kind of off-putting.
Hard in the scales, day to day.
Deflecting palm. Suck my dick. Oh, man. Well, there is a city that Treasure Cruise. No.
what was neat is I was hanging out in that city at one point in my life, just waiting for a boat to show up, just sitting on the beach, and Treasure Cruise showed up.
That'd be awesome. And you got a ticket to San Diego, and you're just sitting there. I don't think it's coming.
It just dropped off. Like the Treasure Cruise showed up, and it, like there's just a bunch of naked bitches on it. Just oh woo, want to come and party? I'm like, nah, I'm looking for like three things off of this boat right now. I need another mountain, and then like yeah, fucking Swords of Plowshares, eat a dick, and that's it. Done.
End.
And scene.
Oh, man. I gotta tell you guys, the show has gone downhill, man, fast.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's fire these idiots. Maddie Studios, Kevin. Oh, you're off this fucking cast. Fucking done.
Oh, man. Kevin, you gotta stop phoning these episodes in, man. We need you at prime time, man.
I feel like the collective blood alcohol level on this episode is far less than the average.
I tried my damnedest to bring it up, but like
I've been drinking this whole time, so
I will say.
Wow, you sound smart when you drink.
I only drink to relax myself. It doesn't really make me. Well, no, I take that back. Once I get to a certain point. I mean, you have seen it. Like
Summer of a Movie is documented.
You could kind of hear my voice getting there near the end.
But
it takes quite a bit before I actually lose, most of my mental faculties.
Motor skills.
Yeah.
No, I think part of it is to be honest, is like, you know, here we are now. Like, this is a normal fucking thing. It's one thing when, like, me and Maddie run this bitch and we do what we want. We're like, hey, you motherfuckers are guests. You shut the fuck up. And just continue to do whatever the fuck we want to. Now we're like, oh man. They're like stockholders in this bitch now. we gotta get used to this whole new fucking format.
I don't know.
Honestly, it was really good.
No, I actually think it was great. And I think that, like, if this continues, like, yes, I feel like maybe in this episode, we could have injected a little bit more of the heavy meta that people are used to. Like, just the fucking offhand crazy shit. But
I know, we didn't even take any questions from the Twitter holders.
Oh, yeah, we need to do that. We need to do that.
We should just...
All right, fuck it.
Yeah, let's answer some of the ones, because I know we got the one from, Obnoxilis, Kevy's dad. But I had a couple other ones that...
Let's all pick one. Let me dig
into my Twitter hole here.
Patreon. I figured it out.
Answer Twitter questions is part of the...
That's interesting. I like that. But here we go, folks. We're going down the Twitter hole extra fucking shit here. Yeah. All right.
Here we go. TSG, I think that you are uniquely qualified to answer this question. At Ugly Wiener Dog says, Canada invades America. Which clan from cons would they use? and which one would America use to defend ourselves? Seeing as you are from Canada, presently live in America. Yeah, Jeskai. Okay, yeah, you took the easy route.
That's easy, dude.
Maddie's just
going to phone in this shit
from
in.
The cuff, he's going to tell us the answer. What is the answer?
What, me? Okay, here. So okay, if Canada is invading, they're obviously... Look, Canada, I assume, is going to use the Outlast mechanic, because that's just what we do.
We're just going off flag color here.
What? No,
get red, white, we get blue, fucking treasure cruise your ass off, suck it.
You fucker. You know, it's true. America just has more gas, man. They just have bigger weapons.
More right. Boats.
Somebody
actually answer this question.
Do you think one of the two nations would be some kind of Sultai? Like, you know, the Canadians have a lot of resources at their disposal that they could kind of drill into, as it were, to get resources, and the Americans are very wasteful, so I guess you could also use that as a crux for being a Sultai clan. It's hard not to say somebody's Jeskai, that being the Americans. It's just figuring out the angle of attack that a Canadian clan would use. It's definitely not ninjas.
No, it's literally big, fat, slow things that come across
the board. KYT does live.
That's true. Teamer.
Big,
okay.
Freaking
yeah.
Mooses, and they're out in their wilderness and.
In the freezing cold, you did. There you go, man. We would attack you with Rattleclaw Mystics, but like sipping Tim Hortons coffee and donuts. Sweet.
That makes sense.
When we morph, it's just basically us as like a beaver.
Like I feel like America's gonna defend with Jeskai regardless, because like even if it's not like it's the obvious answer because it's red, white, and blue. But that's America. We're just like, well, shit. I mean, we're not going to actually look at, you know, what would be the best way to defend against that. We're going to be like, no, America, red, white, and blue. And so
you don't understand because you don't understand because you don't understand liberty.
You don't understand liberty. And we're going to continue doing what it is that we do and just scream red, white, and blue and do it and hope that we win. And if not,
all right,
sell our cards and buy something else to see if we can win.
All right, Ron at Ron, you fucking die. I almost said direct damage. Damage direct. All right, he has a question. He says, since it'll be Halloween and we'll be deep in heavy meta candy, well, I think that's what he's saying. Ooh. What's the thing that scared you the most as kids?
Snakes.
That's easy. Snakes. For me. Boom. No. Okay, so then were you scared of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom?
Oh, dude. Snakes?
When he cut open the fat mother snake and all the... Oh, Jesus.
I am fucked up scared of snakes. Like, nobody's fucking business. Like, I don't give a shit. I'm not scared of fucking a lot of people. I am not scared of, like, fucking the Cholo Mexican from fucking South Central. I am not afraid of fucking any man that is my size because he's got fucking...
Things
two
that are really close to snake for Kevy are already really funny.
Like, I'm not scared of shit except for snakes. Like, they don't have legs, yet they can move around like animated objects, and I just don't agree with it.
Kind of like a fish.
Like animated objects?
You do fish.
Yeah, why don't you like fish?
Yeah, because they're in water, and I don't have to be in water. I have to be on land.
And I can't really give them too much crap. Like, I love snakes. I go out and catch rattlesnakes around here, but...
No,
I'm gonna bring like a freaking sidewinder by Kevy's and
no,
watch
no, no.
Him oh my god,
yes.
If
you ever
want to
see me fucking scream like a bitch? Like, no,
see, and like, I'm on the other side. I fucking hate spiders. I think that they're agents of the devil.
And spiders do not bother me in the slightest. Like, I will let spiders crawl on me. I have no fucking problem with it. They have legs. They're allowed to. Snakes? No. That's some wizard magic that I don't
think. Oh, man. See, I've fought wolverines and shit. Nothing really scares me except for the fucking motherfucking alien. That thing, I still cannot watch Aliens all the way through. It's just disturbing on some mental thing.
I'm gonna eat you with my little mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, no, dude.
A snake inside that lady.
Yeah, well, see, there you go, right? I don't know, dude. That thing, and my little brother scared the shit out of me one Halloween, it wasn't even Halloween. It was just one night. He just came down the stairs with a fucking alien mask on, and he just stood there, and it literally scared the living shit out of me and my friend.
I remember telling you.
Oh, that is like still to this day, that thing at Just, oh, and my brother, fuck you, my brother, because he wants to get, yeah, he wants to, he's like, hey, I'm going to buy you that new alien immersion game where, like, the alien hunts you, and I'm like, do not bring that to my house. I will not put that in the PlayStation. We will not play that game. He's like, oh, yeah, I think we're going to play it. Like, if you do, I'll break that disc. I'll snap that motherfucker in half. You do not bring that in my house.
All right, TSD, your turn. Oh, what are you afraid of?
It's ironic that because I was thinking of, way back in youth, and I think I was exposed to a lot of the more scary, violent shit when I was a kid, and I could definitely remember The Alien. But ironically, it was a different of James Cameron's work that got me when I was a kid. I can vividly remember watching Terminator and being deathly afraid that anyone could be the T-1000, and I could die at any moment, and I could trust no one.
Come with me.
Oh my goodness. Don't do it.
Do the chopper. Do it now.
I still love that line when Michael Biehn, he's like, don't you fucking get it? You can't reason with that thing. Oh, that was just awesome, man. Movies in our day were so much more intense. You know, there's no Michael Bay. Look at us. We're fun. Here's a bunch of explosions. And we're animating shit so quick you can't see what it is on screen. It was just like a guy in a rubber suit just scaring the shit out of you.
Yeah, we're all old as fuck.
Yeah, that's right, everybody.
Alien. Yeah.
All right, what's the next
guys in rubber suits? Guys in rubber suits.
Are they afraid of Harry Potter?
No, there's nothing scary in Harry Potter.
We don't know
that.
It's
a bunch of fucking nerds. Look, man, there's nothing scary about Harry Potter except those fucking gremlin things in the beginning of the first.
I would be afraid of being in Hogwarts with a, you know, like a gay old wizard. I'm getting pelted with shit. My girlfriend loves Harry Potter.
Yeah, like,
she knew like, exactly what I was referencing too.
Voldemort ain't shit. Like, it's like, you know, like, as scary as Voldemort is, you just run up and cover his mouth with your hand and he's fucked because he's got these fucked up nostrils that don't work. Like, yeah, that's how you get rid of him.
Hey, Ken, you know, to get to Voldemort, you'd have to get through a giant snake, right?
Mm.
That's what she said.
Oh, God damn it. Oh, you're right. Oh, shit. Okay, I give up.
See? So there's another scary in Harry Potter?
Yeah.
Like, I remember the snake with spiders in that big spider nest. I was pretty freaked out. Fuck that.
Oh, no, that's right. Oh, yeah, fuck Harry Potter. I don't watch that anymore.
No, see, I'm backing like... my new co-host up here. TSG is right. Harry Potter can have some scary-ass shit in it.
Mm.
Yeah.
I feel like a snake that big, though, like, you could just hit it with a baseball bat, no problem. Or you could just shoot at it with a gun.
I think if you hit that thing with a baseball bat, it would laugh at you.
No, I think you clock that thing in the head, you're fucking dead. Or you just shoot at it with a gun. The problem with, like, normal snakes, like actual snakes, they're really hard to hit with a fucking rifle or a handgun.
Speaking from experience.
Yes. Yes, speaking from experience, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. It's never happened before in my life. I've never tried to shoot at a snake and missed and ran screaming like a girl. Ever.
I have ran screaming from a snake before. We have snakes around here called Mojave Greens. Yeah, and they are a type of rattlesnake, and they are fucking
not
mean.
Cool.
They're not actually mean. They're not mean. They're territorial. But I didn't know. As a kid, I thought they were fucking mean because we have Sidewinders and Western Diamondbacks, and those are like the only snakes around here that are poisonous have a rattle on them. So it's pretty easy. Yeah. Everything that doesn't have a rattle on, it doesn't matter. They can bite you. You're fine. But if it has a rattle, obviously, you know, don't want to get bit by it. But the Diamondbacks and the Sidewinders, they're much more afraid of you than you you are of them, unless you're a Kevy. They're pretty easy to catch. Like they curl up, they shake their rattle, and you can pin their head down, pick them up. I've caught them plenty of times. That's not the same with the Mojave Green. Those things are pissed off at you because if you're walking up on them, that means you're in their territory. I had one chase me. I have never screamed so loud for so run screaming from a snake before. But I'm just meaning it was a poison
especially,
snake trying to murder me. You
all
see
I know is
a freaking gopher snake and
somebody on Twitter to send you snake wrapped around a dick pic this weekend.
Look what you like. I'm not kidding. While we were podcasting, I got a picture sent to me on Facebook from my sister that is a toilet seat who's like covered in tarantulas. She's like, "Happy Halloween."
Oh fuck.
I was like,
that.
I fucking hate you. Like you're dead to me.
You're dead to me. You're not even my sister anymore.
Like last year she sent me a picture of some like freaking German Shepherd dressed as some like giant ass spider. Like they put these
That is fucking
It was
whack.
Crazy looking. Like they did a good job because it scared the shit out of me. If a German Shepherd ran at me and it had 8 spider legs, I would piss myself.
I would honestly probably be in big trouble
beating a
giant
no
spider dog to death.
Like, spiders don't even bother me, but that would fucking bother me.
I would be like, okay, now it's time to go.
What are you scared
of? Heavy Metal Bar. He's not scared of anything. Yeah, he already said he's scared of wizards and shit. Come on, man.
You?
Stop drinking
wizards?
So much.
Wizards?
No,
really?
he said he was scared of T-1000.
He's scared of Arnold, okay?
He wants to get raped by a robot. It's not a tumor.
He doesn't like me. He doesn't like me because I was the governor.
I think I was sleeping through that part.
Alright, heavy metal bartender asks us, would you rather have finger-sized legs or leg-sized fingers? Great question, bartender, by the way.
A shout out to him too. I still have yet to try the drink that he labeled as the Gumby, but it sounds delicious. So I'm gonna try on Halloween to make that drink, and I'll get back to him. It sounds.
He's probably on break right now. He should be in the cave somewhere around here. But here's how I look at this.
All of us have to go like leg-sized fingers because if any of us have finger-sized legs, we're a midget and we're not allowed to pot.
Yeah.
Easy answer.
Cast anymore.
Easy answer. Kevin, you got right to the heart of that one. If you have finger-sized legs, you are a midget and cannot be associated with this podcast.
Wow.
Except for heavy metal midget, man.
Heavy metal midget's a different story.
Yeah, and you know what, other cast, if you're so fucking lazy, all you're doing is making fun of our midgets with your fucking gay fucking gangster bitch
money
niggas.
Draft motherfucker.
All right, anyways, do we even dare?
You got $1 million and all you can do is make fun of our shit? Come on.
Yeah, come on, man. Take on the big boys with that money.
I know you can do better than that.
Yeah, come on. Well, they got to isolate and hate everyone.
They have Jason Ault, so there's like that fucking, that drags their...
Oh.
Isn't he? I mean, I remember Jason. He's pretty short. Is he the money drop midget?
I gotta put this to bed at some point because I feel like at some point Jason's gonna think I actually don't like him. I love Jason all to death, but it's just so much fun to fuck with him. Anyway, go ahead.
Do we dare do another Mary Fuck Kill? I don't know.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So it's Halloween. So heavy metal bartender, I guess he's hitting us with a double. He's like Mary Fuck Kill, Rosie O'Donnell, Hillary Clinton, Honey Boo Boo's mother.
Jesus Christ, kill them all.
That's
wow. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, shit.
Snap Mary Hillary because she's cool with anything.
Wrath of God.
Okay, go.
No,
TSG.
Snap Mary Hillary because she's cool with a lot of shit. Yeah. We know. Bill got away with a lot of things. I'd like to be in that boat.
Mm-hmm.
You kill Honey Boo Boo's mother because you can live off of her insides for like a year.
She's like fucking a dumpster.
And then you just have to turn Rosie O'Donnell over.
Oh.
You know what? As much as I hate to admit, like TSG hit that one like square on the head. Like I agree wholeheartedly.
I'm going Rathbot if you don't have the mana concede the match.
No, because Kevin, you don't understand. If you don't pick, then it's fuck all of them.
Fuck Mary Ann, kill all of them?
No. Oh. Yep.
Yeah, I'm still going to go snap, concede the match.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, okay, I literally am looking at, like, okay, Hillary Clinton obviously is, like, the hottest one of them all. But I don't even know what to say. Like the other two is like, oh my god, that's like slapping your dick in like a pile of like cut glass or putting a nail.
Okay,
like well, okay. Well, at least Honey Boo Boo's mother can cook.
Are you sure?
Like I don't know.
Are you sure? I think she
I don't know.
Just
actually,
eats KFC.
That's
she
true.
Cook ramen? Like come on.
Well, she can. She can. Okay. Oh man, I don't know. I'm gonna throw up. Like I really don't know. I think okay.
You're like just agonizing over this decision.
Okay, okay, fine, fuck it. Okay, I will marry Hillary Clinton. Yeah. I'll kill them. I'll kill them all. Fuck, I can't even deal with this.
I really want to go with this.
You know what? No, Kimmy, shut up. I got it. Here it is. I am going to fucking marry Hillary Clinton, because then I'll have a future in politics. Then I'm going to cast treasure cubes for fucking two lightning bolts, and I'm going to kill these other two bitches, man. Fuck this. I can't deal with that. I can't.
I think TSG hit it on the, if I'm forced to make a decision, I think TSG hit it on the head. Like, Honey Boo's mom has to die. Like,
yeah, that's the only option that makes any sort of sense.
Yeah, the only option that makes any sense. And I mean, when you're left with the, you know, you're gonna marry Harry Clinton.
Probably.
Oh, well, hold on. Is it Harry? Is it Harry Clinton?
Harry Clinton.
And then, hey, you can take care of hair. That's fine. We can deal with that.
Maybe if you're lucky, like if you're gonna bang Rosie O'Donnell, then like you, like maybe she'll bring in some like hot lesbian friend that'll make it worth it.
True.
Turn it into a threesome. I don't know. Like I mean,
oh, I don't even risk know
because. I don't know. Well, I don't know. Maybe you just make sure Rosie O'Donnell marries you in California so you can take half her shit when you leave her and you bang the Clinton. Man, that's a really hard one and I don't want to be associated with it. So I'm just going to concede the match. Like I'm going to cast Armageddon or concede the match.
All right. Well, let's get back into the Halloween feel of things. Air Zook has got a great one for us.
Halloween, like, that was the scariest shit. Like, I'm more interested in the question of M.O. Snake.
Well, no, okay. He said, if you had to go out as a slutty planeswalker for Halloween, which would you be? Cross-dressing is acceptable.
Oh.
Well, are you going as Garrick?
If I'm going to be a fucking slutty planeswalker, I'm going as fucking Garrick.
I mean, he's already slutty. The man never wears pants, and his junk is fairly covered. Like,
you know, the slutty Halloween costume is all you...
He wears pants?
No, like, the slutty
you
Halloween
find me costume... a pants-wearing Garrick.
No.
The flip version, his dark side has pants
his
on. Come on.
His dark side is covered by pants.
Yeah, his green side has like a long trench coat, but then when he's evil dark Garrick, he's got pants
cloth
on.
And a cape made out of bear. No.
Hey, man, he ain't Harry Clinton.
He's not.
Maybe he is down there. No, I don't know. He's probably wild growth.
Because, like, the auto fucking formula for fucking slutty anything Halloween costume is you just wear the ears or the fucking face, and then you just wear lingerie. So I am going to wear Garrick's mask, and then I'm just going to wear green fucking lingerie and, I don't know, a tail of some sort.
And, God, right. Because that totally sluts him up. I love it.
You know, what are you going to be, Liliana? You're just going to wear black lingerie?
Nah, Liliana's too easy. That one's too easy.
Isn't that the hallmark of a slut?
You.
I don't know. Is she easy? I don't think she is.
I don't want anything to do with you. You could just wear fucking black and green lingerie and just have snakes hanging out of fucking whatever orifice you want them to. Like, no.
You just say orifice?
Orifice.
Yeah, that's the orifice that's so horrible. It's a horrifice. It's like a horcrux, but for horribleness.
Yeah,
for horse.
He's inventing words, folks.
Snap that's what he always does.
I'm like
Beebles.
It's the best. Just keep making words. All right, so all right, David, what are you going as? Slutty planeswalker.
I'm gonna have to say Ajani.
Oh, you bastard! Very
like
nice.
A one-eyed lion's head and lingerie.
Exactly, with a tail.
No,
I one upped you. Kevin.
No, okay. Now, are you shaving
parts of me?
just your genital region. You're all covered in hair, but you shave your genital region. You look like a minx with its all like just rolls of just like pink flesh there.
Oh, God. I'm getting sick. I'm glad nobody who's listening to this knows what the hell I look like because they're vomiting right now if they do.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And look, I shaved my balls for you.
It's obvious, David. Why don't you just go Karn and just fucking bick your entire body?
Karn is already metal. He's fucking naked, dude. He doesn't even have junk.
That's what I'm saying. Just shave and then I'm Karn.
Yeah.
Spray paint myself beige or silver and done.
I like it.
But then I'm going to have to go out and be like, oh, what are you, Silver Surfer? And then, you know, sound even more.
Yeah.
Then you get those awkward questions. Not like, you know.
Big shoulder pads.
Unass naked with fucking silver shoulder pads on.
There we go. Well, you guys have already spoiled my Halloween costume. I guess there's no need to take a picture now.
And I guess I'm not winning this fucking round. TSD, what do you got?
That was tough. Like, I feel like most of the female planeswalkers are either too easy or too unexciting or maybe too
like. Are you talking like sexually? Like they're just easy or they're unexciting?
No, I don't want to objectify women in that fashion. But I will say,
Gamergate.
Gamergate.
I would probably go with Venser, and
ooh.
Yeah.
How are you accessorizing?
I think there's some good jokes to be made and some good opportunities to pick up points.
Oh my god, he's unblockable.
No, I think
everybody get in there.
Would find ways of disappearing and reappearing.
Oh!
I'm
very nice.
Facts, man.
So,
man, you could have, like, you could just wear lingerie and just carry around a bunch of dildos. Call them artifacts.
Alright, So I think I've got the hands down winner here. I don't think you guys have like gone deep enough. You know, that's you guys haven't thought back to all the sets that we've seen. So if I'm going as a slutty planeswalker,
just a black dude in a red
I'm going Koth. I'm gonna tape a giant black dildo to my crotch. And I am going to paint myself black, and then I'm going to just dip one hand in glass and light it on fire.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And I'm just going to be like, hey, who wants to jerk off and get a disease?
Matty's going to paint himself like a fucking 1920s white actor.
Yeah, with the white lips and just a giant dildo. It'd be awesome.
I'm not touching this one. I'm not going.
No, I'm not. Oh man, fuck again. I just answered these damn Twitter hole questions. They take you deep. They take you deep, just like Con.
Oh, take you
deep. I'm going deep, boys.
The new podcast are like, I'm just not gonna say anything, so I can't be implicated if this does actually take
I love everybody goes silent when they're like, ooh, that went off the rails. Oh, he just went off the cliff. Everyone just be quiet.
Everybody
just let him go down. We've got enough people here.
We can replace
carry
them.
On without him.
Yeah, we can keep
yeah.
It's fine. Like all you need is a fucking derf avatar and an alcohol habit and you guys are fucking set.
Yeah. And you too can be a heavy metal host. We should sell that. What was that crazy Asian guy that used to like promise stuff in like the late 80s on those infomercials? You too can be like me. No. What was that guy? You can make millions of dollars. He just had like women bouncing around him. No?
What you're saying sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about. I don't recall the name.
Dr. Wu.
I thought you guys were talking about the random ass white dude with gray hair that like has the Joker fucking suit on that with the infomercials. Like he's just
that guide to get rich thing.
Yes.
Oh, no, he's not talking about
there's a
about
guy who looks like the Joker. No.
Yeah, he's talking about like an 80s version of that guy who just happened to be Asian. Mm.
You too can have a boat like me.
Yeah.
Like that.
It's the same concept.
You too
like,
can go on a cruise.
Recycled.
Yeah. Yeah, hey man, In Living Color made fun of that.
Oh god.
Jim Carrey, I think, did a funny version of
yourself, Matty.
You know what's sad is that
dude,
I get his references, so.
That's sad. See, there you go. See, you know what? I think most Magic players are allowed to
watch TV. I'm older than all of you motherfuckers, except for I was allowed to watch TV when I was a kid.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I don't know. I guess...
Unless you want them to end up like heavy metal.
Let your kids watch TV or are they going to end up like heavy?
Yeah. Let them balance themselves out. Let the crazy world just fucking enter their brains through TV. Because if you don't let them watch TV, they're gonna end up like me. They're gonna use recreational drugs.
You're like the male version of the pastor's daughter.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely correct.
This has been the bonus 45 minutes of